Good Thursday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Had a nice day yesterday. Today will be more clouds with a slight chance of showers, but still pleasant. 73 for our high, winds light and variable. Jace is gone today. That means we have Jimmy in the house. Big game, James McCarty. Good morning to you, James.
Good morning. Jimmy's rested up and caffeinated. He's ready to go.
Jimmy had a long
couple of days. He fell asleep early.
It was good. You needed your sleep. You had a long couple of days earlier in the week. So
Yeah. We were doing all kinds of things. We were out looking at some security systems, of course, on Tuesday for the remote. Yeah. And we were giving away some tickets to ND Country Fest. We had some prayer obligations on Monday. So yesterday I got home. Turned on just, I was just browsing through channels. NASCAR replay was on, and that was my nightlight, apparently, yeah, to just snap me right out.
Not to mention you had to fill in for me a few days. Now, today you're filling in for Jace, but payback comes, what, next week? Weekend?
Yeah,
you got
the baseball
World Series,
the 13th
College World
and the
Series.
16th. It's a Friday and a Monday. Jace is on
like
his own. Yeah, we, a couple of the guys have already said, we know how you are at weddings. We're expecting that in the College World Series. And I said, guys, I don't think I can dance shirtless on tables in Omaha.
Yes, you can.
I said, I don't know if that's accepted. I said, when I know people and I can get away with more at a wedding, yeah, that's a totally different scenario than a random, you know, a Wild Bills in downtown, yeah, Omaha.
Read the room, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I do a very bad job of that.
But if it feels right, the moment feels right, then do it.
My problem is I read rooms very poorly because I think that every room wants that out of me.
Well, I appreciate it.
And most of them don't.
Me videos. He usually sends little pictures of you.
I got to send
Jace
the updates.
We appreciate it.
Making sure you guys know I'm still upright.
We love your
for the
youth
most
and
part.
Enthusiasm. Kind of reminds us of our younger days, I think. Except I kept my shirt on. Jace probably took his off.
I was
going to
say, yeah, I,
like you.
You know, it's kind of odd as the. You would think my shirt would be on more often than it is.
Yeah. But that's okay. You have fun, you enjoy life. I like that. Today, keep your shirt on. It might be a little cool with the chance of showers. That was the same thing yesterday. I was out golfing with my son, and we got hit with a couple of showers, but they didn't last but 5 minutes.
Yeah, I think after I'd gotten home, there was like maybe a 10-minute-ish in South Moorhead where it just came through.
Yeah,
yeah,
later in the day, it lasted a little bit
longer.
Maybe
it was 4 o'clock, 4:30, something like that.
That one might have went 10, 15 minutes or something like that. But yeah, kind of a similar situation, but it's not going to be a washout for any activities you guys have going on today or for the next several days. Fargo police have confirmed an attack on a police officer by a juvenile suspect. Our partners over at Valley News Live obtained a video that shows the female officer trying to talk to the suspect, who's walking away. As she gets closer, she appears to grab the suspect's arm, at which time he begins to throw punches at her head. A bystander pulls a suspect off the officer, and two other bystanders intervene. No word from police on what led to the altercation. Domestic violence and sexual assault advocacy centers across North Dakota are reporting record numbers from last year. Stats show more than 6,300 victims of domestic violence sought services from them, but 1,400 victims of sexual assault also sought help. Numbers show a more than 3% rise in domestic violence incidents from 2023 and a nearly 6% increase in reports of sexual assault. North Dakota apparently leads the country in terms of the rates of measles cases. At least that's the claim from the State Public Health Association, which says the state has a little more than 4 cases for every 100,000 people. New Mexico is second with just under 4 cases. The nonprofit believes the outbreak is caused by unvaccinated children. Of the country's more than 1,000 cases, North Dakota has more than 30. North Dakota schools are now required to have cardiac emergency response plans. The American Heart Association says over 23,000 children experience heart issues annually, with 5 reported incidents in North Dakota. Governor Armstrong signed the bill requiring schools to have plans set up by 2027. North Dakota lawmakers want to protect children from sexual material. A new law will require adult websites to use age verification. The National Library of Medicine says about 42% of children between the ages of 10 and 17 have viewed online pornography at least once. North Dakota's new law is set to go in effect August 1st. However, a pending Supreme Court case will decide if any state can legally require porn websites to verify ages. Another scam has authorities warning you to be cautious. Mandan police say a resident was contacted by someone claiming to be a representative of the Social Security Administration. The person requested sensitive information, including bank details and Social Security numbers. The caller also asked him to go to their local bank and withdraw up to $20,000. The person did not comply and called police instead. A California woman's facing charges after a disturbance on a Delta flight from Minneapolis-St. Paul to San Francisco over the weekend. The San Jose woman is charged with obstruction of the legal process, fifth-degree assault, and disorderly conduct. Police were called for reports of a passenger causing a disturbance. A flight attendant said the woman refused to put her bags in the overhead compartment before the flight. After being told she needed to check them due to limited space before the plane doors closed, the woman got angry, pushed a flight attendant, and screamed at other passengers. And Canadian wildfire smoke continues to create hazardous air quality over the upper Midwest. Some parts of Minnesota, including the Twin Cities, recorded the highest levels of unhealthy air yesterday, where the skies turned gray from the wildfire smoke. Minneapolis had the most unhealthy air of any major city in the U.S., although the worst air quality overall was in Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Forecasters say the smoke should clear up today and Thursday, but return by Friday. Locally, Dino thinks we'll see smoke return on Sunday as the winds shift from the north. 5:06, time now for a check on your WDAY radio sports with big game James McCarty.
Last night, the Minnesota Twins taking the third consecutive game from the A's in Sacramento, this time by a score of 6-1. Zebby Matthews gave up one run with four strikeouts over five innings en route to earning his first victory of the 2025 campaign. Four different relievers with a shutout inning in relief for the Twins. Offensive attack was led by Harrison Bader's two-run homer and Ryan Jeffers, who had a solo shot and a pair of runs driven in the victory. Twins and A's conclude this four-game set this afternoon. First pitch at 2:35. Bailey Ober scheduled to get the start for Minnesota, who currently sits in second place in the AL Central, a half-game lead on third at 34-27. They are six games, though, back of division-leading Detroit. Unfortunate news for the Twins. We saw Pablo Lopez on Tuesday evening exit his start early, throwing warm-up pitches in the sixth inning. Looked to have a little bit of uncomfortability in that kind of bicep, tricep, shoulder-ish type of area. Out of precaution, the Twins decided to end his evening early, and an MRI yesterday revealed that Pablo has suffered a grade 2 strain of his teres major after exiting the Tuesday night victory against the A's. That estimates him to be on a setback of an 8 to 12-week recovery time, and so we will not expect him to be back until, at the earliest, the beginning of August, maybe not even until that stretch run of the postseason, trying to push for the postseason in September, unfortunately. The 29-year-old, 5-3 on the season, with a 2.82 ERA and 11 starts, he is the clear-cut ace of the staff and the one of the favorites when it came to the AL Cy Young early, at least, voting for the season. Unfortunate injury there for the Twins, and now they're going to need some of those younger guys and guys that are experienced like Bailey Ober and Joe Ryan to really, Chris Paddock, to kick it into gear and take a step forward and up in that leadership role for the next 2 to 3 months while Pablo recovers from that injury. The Red Hawks, they dropped another matchup to the Kansas City Monarchs, this time by a score of 3-2 on Wednesday night. The Monarchs scored all three runs in the second inning, with the Red Hawks powering back two of those runs in the fifth, and then it was just a stalemate from there on out the final four innings of the matchup. This four-game set wraps up tonight at Newman Outdoor Field at 7:02, with the Red Hawks looking to try and split that four-game set with a victory. Stanley Cup Final finally began last night. Leon Draisaitl for the Oilers in Edmonton. He got the first goal of the game, and he got the last goal of the game. A 4-3 overtime walk-off thriller. The Oilers take down the Panthers thanks to those two goals by Draisaitl. Sam Bennett did score twice for the Panthers. Edmonton leads that best-of-seven series now 1-0, with Game 2 in Edmonton on Friday night. Puck will drop just like last night at 7 o'clock on TNT. And after a legitimate full week off for both the Pacers and Thunder, Game 1 of the NBA Finals will commence in Oklahoma City tonight. Tip off at 7:30. Game coverage available nationally on ABC.
Oh, I was thinking that was last night and I missed the whole game, so
nope,
I didn't.
Nope,
miss the
you
game.
Missed Game 1 of the Cup Final. Yeah,
oh, okay.
Stanley Cup. Yeah.
Okay. I got bad info from my son. He thought they were both last night when we were out golfing.
No, they're
okay.
Alternating days,
which
basically.
Which is good,
because
yep. I thought that stinks if they're both on the same night, but I didn't. Just went to bed.
Yeah. Also on the hardwood.
Yeah.
It was announced that Minnesota Lynx forward Nafisa Collier has been named the Western Conference Player of the Month for May.
Mm, well deserved.
She averaged just under 27 points, 8 rebounds during the month, along with 3.5 assists and a couple of steals per game. She's helped
good.
The Lynx out to an 8-0 start. That's a league best right now, because the Liberty have only played 7 games. New York does play tonight. That could possibly tie the Lynx for the best record in the league. But the last time the Lynx had a start like this, it was 2017, their most recent title with what was the Hall of Famer in Maya Moore at that time. Minnesota will visit Dallas on Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. And last thing I note in sports here this hour, Moorhead native Jacob Sobolek. He was a student assistant for the Dragon men's basketball program 2 years ago. Okay. Really great young man. He decided to pursue another opportunity last year. He went up to Minot State to be a graduate assistant mm-hmm. and helped the Beavers to their first ever NCAA Division II men's basketball national tournament berth. Nice. And he now, last night, was announced by head coach Tyler Borman of the Cobber men's basketball program as an assistant coach for the program. And so he's coming back home to Moorhead. He's going to be an assistant coach under Coach Borman for the Cobbers this upcoming season. We're looking forward to seeing what he can do. He's a bright young mind in the local area when it comes to basketball, and looking forward to catching up with him here in the coming days as he comes back home to Moorhead and seeing the excitement of the advancements that he's made over the last 24 or so months and the opportunity he has to be a part of that Concordia College men's basketball program.
Yeah, very cool. Good luck to him. All right, mostly cloudy today. Chance of some showers, but just a slight chance, maybe 20% chance of showers. 73 for our high. Winds will be light and variable. 48 our overnight low. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny. Slight chance of a pop-up shower once again. 74 for the high. South-southeast winds 5 to 10 to the low of 50. Saturday, that's our best chance of rain. Looks like 40% chance of evening showers or thunder showers. Otherwise, partly sunny. 76 for the high. South-southwest winds 10 to 20, 50 are overnight low. Winds will kick up on Sunday. That's when Dean says perhaps that smoke will return. Pretty good likelihood we'll see the smoke return on Sunday. Partly to mostly cloudy. 68 for the high. Might need a sweatshirt, light jacket. Winds will be out of the west-northwest 15 to 25, overnight low around 44. And then looking ahead at next week, it'll be dry Monday through Wednesday. Highs in the upper 70s to mid-80s. Right now, it's partly cloudy. We have 52 degrees here at our WDAY radio studios. High up I-29 in South Fargo. Winds out of the northeast at 5 miles an hour. 5:12, we are going to get your national news in from ABC, then a song of the morn and question of the morn coming up. 5:18, Thursday morning, Bonnie Amistadi, big game, James McCarty and you. Thanks for hanging out with us. We do appreciate it. Our question of the morn: what is the best thing you have seen, heard, or done lately? 701-293-9000. Email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. 5:22, Thursday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends WDAY Radio. Jace off today doing some more medical appointment follow-ups. What are we, 6 months out from his heart transplant, Jimmy? Something like that. Day before Thanksgiving.
It was... Gosh, she told me it was the 25th of November.
Yeah, so it was
I believe 24th,
25th. I'm counting on my fingers, and he's working in his head. It's about a little over 6 months.
And
he's got monthly checkups, so this is one of his monthly checkups.
I believe it's through the 1 year, and then they get
see how things go.
A little bit stretched out more. I want to say quarterly, but I'm not totally certain.
Something like that. But
he tells me all the time, and apparently it goes in 1 year and out the
other. Well, usually when he's telling us stuff, it's in breaks, like a commercial break, when we're trying to focus on what's going on in the show, and then we like yap to catch up on life amongst us all behind the scenes here and stuff. And yeah, so not everything kind of resonates. I know somebody was texting me yesterday. Somebody says this word over and over again. It drives me crazy. I said, you know what? I don't even hear that. And it's not you. James looks at me. Is it me? And it's like, no, it's not you. It's not you. But it's like, I don't hear everything because when one of us is running the show, which I normally do, James will do it for sports or whatever. And Jace can do it. And we were sharing before his medical episode. But generally speaking, I run it. And so when you're running it, like Dean will pop off on the side. I don't hear everything because there's just so much thinking going on and trying to keep everybody in line. But you know better than to step out of line because you got to deal with me up until 8:30 this morning. Right, Jimmy?
You know, you think I know better, but
I like when you step out
I still kind of push, the envelope a little bit with it.
That's okay. I like when you do that. I found something earlier and it made me think of you and I'll have to ask you about it. I have to find it again.
Oh, boy.
I have to re-find it.
This could be, it could be very interesting.
It could be anything.
This could be incriminating. That's what it could be.
Yeah. No, it won't be. Well, maybe. It will be. At 7:10 this morning, we're going to get your lawn, garden, and tree questions answered. Jill Patrie from Clay County Extension will be in. If you have any questions, you can email them in right now if you'd like, studio at WDAYradionow.com, or pick up the phone. Give us a call when Jill gets on the air at 7:10 this morning. She's got a lot of expertise, especially when it comes to trees, but lawns, gardens. She knows all the answers there. So if you have any questions, call in. I have got a couple. One of my neighbors, first time strawberry grower, so wanted to know if there's anything in particular she needs to know. I will ask Jill that when she gets on the air here. What is the best thing you have seen, heard, or done lately? Give us a call, 701-293-9000. That's our question of the morning. You can email us, studio@wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. How about you? Seen, heard, done, best thing lately?
Best thing lately.
Yeah. I mean, lately can be within the past couple of weeks, I'd say, too. You know.
Oh, gosh.
Nothing? Is your life boring?
Well, no, I'm just like, I'm trying to pin, like,
you've,
kind
you've
of narrow
fishing,
down.
Fishing,
so,
but that's been a while back.
Yeah,
right?
I haven't went fishing in probably 3 weeks. No, I did a little bit of golf. Yeah, I suppose. I had a buddy, a couple of friends from college that got married last weekend.
Oh, you did?
That's probably, yep.
I didn't even hear anything about this wedding. I didn't get any shirtless pictures that weekend.
I stayed pretty clean. That's how the whole shirtless thing this morning came up, was because of that. Yeah, so a couple of friends from college, they got married. So that was really cool.
How many? You have been in so many weddings.
I was not in this one.
You've
that's probably why.
A lot of friends. Well, you're just at that age. How many weddings do you think you've been at, friend-wise, here?
Over the past three years, probably 10 to 12.
Lots. You're just at that age.
Somebody's going to yell at me. I don't think I have any more, though, the rest of the year that I'm aware of.
Yeah, that young adult age, say, between whatever, 21 and usually 26, 27, that seems to be a popular time frame.
Oh, yeah.
Because my oldest now, she's getting married beginning of September, and she'll be almost 30 by the time she gets married. But she has been in and to and done hair and makeup for so many different weddings for friends over the years.
Yeah, I mean, so that was awesome. It's always great to get to see family. I did that on Memorial Day, so that was awesome.
It's nicer when you're just a guest, like you're not, you know, like mother of the bride or your groomsman. You know, it's fun to just go to weddings sometimes just to show up as a guest.
Yeah, I had mixed emotions about it because I had no responsibility, but I also didn't feel like anybody was looking at me either.
That's
so I was kind of like, you know, suppose no eyes are on me so I can get away with more, but like. What am I supposed to do for an hour while I know the wedding party's at the bar?
Yeah.
Like, okay.
That bar thing gets stretched out too long when the wedding party decides to go bar hopping or whatever.
Well, I think a part of it.
It seems like it's usually like 3 hours and I'm hangry by then.
Well, I mean, usually it's, I would say give or take, somewhere in that realm of an hour to an hour and a half. But the whole thing is, I mean, the wedding party, depending, I mean, most of the ones I've been involved in, you know, if you have 5 to 7 people on each side, so you got probably 16, 17 people in total if you include, like, the bride and groom, their groomsmen, their bridesmaids. You have, you know, couple of other just people that are there for, what the heck do they call them? Like your personal attendant?
There you go.
You have those, and I mean, you can get to 20 people real quick. You go to a bar, and you're like, all right, yep, we all want a beer, and then we want 20 shots. Well, a lot of those, especially like the smaller bars, like, all right, give us 10 minutes. Like, it takes a little bit to do it. And
then you go to 2-3 bars.
Yeah, you do that twice, and it's an hour and a half in a hurry.
Right. And if you're just waiting for the bride and groom to get back because you want to greet them or whatever, it seems like a long wait. Or you're getting hungry, unless they have little snacks or something.
They did. They had a snack bar here. They knew what they were doing. Oh, man. They had the, they had like a little trail mixy stuff. They had some peanut M&Ms. They had, I don't know what kind of mix it was, but it's like they were all miniature. It was like little miniature peanut butter cups with miniature pretzels with the little peanut butter in them.
Okay, so and you then had like snack
some little things like that. So I was doing that while putting back a few beers.
Well, you were thirsty that
day. Yes, I was. It was very warm over the weekend, so I had to stay hydrated.
So your wedding, that's the best thing you've done. Seen and done lately.
I would say, yeah. Okay. Yeah, probably that wedding, yeah.
Best thing you've seen, heard, or done lately? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morn, 701-293-9000. Email studio@wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Dave in Grand Rapids, you're too funny. He's retired, but he says he came out of retirement because it's for the birds. So he took a part-time job driving a medical van And he also bought new socks. He's wondering if that counts. That might be exciting for you. If you bought socks, you needed new socks, heck yeah. It can be something little, too. It doesn't have to be anything big. I think the best thing, of course, we were in Chicago for my granddaughter's first birthday. My son-in-law, for those of you that listen regularly, know he's from Serbia. So he's got a lot of friends, especially down in the Chicago area, which a lot of Serbian friends. But he's also got close friends who are like from, I don't know, Romania, Montenegro, Brazil or whatever. But when I stand in the kitchen, I was just making sure everything was kind of like assembled. I just like listening because sometimes when they're alone, they'll start talking in Serbian, his friends, just because it's easier, you know, because
yeah,
it's their
so you're
first
trying
language.
To pick up some slang.
No, I have no idea what they're saying, but I just find it so cool because my mom and grandma from Ukraine would talk all the time in Ukrainian just because it was easier for grandma.
Yeah, yep.
And so it just reminds me, even though it's a different language, it just reminds me of growing up listening to my mom and grandma talk in their native language. And I just get a kick out of that. And I've told them that a couple different times. It's like, I have no idea what they're saying. And I know they're not talking about me. I'm not that insecure. But they're just, you know, laughing and having fun. It's just like, I just think it is so cool listening to them. Like I said, because it just brings back such great memories.
Oh,
because
for sure.
Now, I mean, if my mom's trying to impress Milo, she'll say a few words in Serbian. My mom can speak like 9 different languages, not like fluently in everything, but fluently she can speak 4, but she can also knows bits and pieces. But so that's like an amazing highlight thing when she can talk a little bit of a different language with somebody.
That's wild.
With her mom, you know, talking in Ukrainian, it was on a daily basis they were talking. So I miss that. My grandma's been dead probably, I don't know, I bet 35, 40 years. I think I was in college when my grandma Elizabeth died. So miss her and I miss the native language there. What is the best thing you have seen, heard, or done lately? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morning, 701-293-9000. Go to the phone lines. We find our friend Polly in Idaho. Good morning to you, Polly.
Well, top of the morning to you both.
Yes, you too. How about you? Best thing you've heard, seen, or done lately?
Well, I was at work yesterday, and we worked really well as a team. And there was no accidents, nobody got hurt, and that's always safety first. But, yeah, we worked really good as a team, and we got done early. And then the rest of the day at work was a different type of day, and that was one where we went out and we picked up some cars and we drove them back to the auction house and got ready for next week's auction.
There you go. And there's something to be said for enjoying the people you work with. Like we have giggles here and fun times. I mean, some days we have to work harder than others, but we have a lot of fun here at the office. And there's something to be said for enjoying your coworkers and their company.
Well, you guys, the way you go back and forth, your banter, you know, and you're laughing in there. It's one of the reasons why I continue to keep calling back.
Oh, well, thanks.
Not just because I'm awake, but because you guys are a good team.
I think Polly sets his alarm clock. Yeah, you set your alarm clock so you can hang out with us early, don't you?
Actually, my alarm clock's not set till 4:47. It's not even on yet.
What time is it there for you?
It is.
Is it 4:32? Okay, so you're an hour.
4:32,
an hour ahead of us. Okay, I thought maybe you were, but just checking on that. Okay. Well, Polly, you enjoy your coworkers today. Have a great day, and thanks for listening.
You too, and tell that guy to enjoy his new socks.
Dave in Grand Rapids. Yeah, Dave, you enjoy those new socks. 701-293-9000. What's the best thing you have seen, heard, or done lately? Good morning, friend. Who's this?
This is Ben.
Hi, Ben. How are you this morning?
I'm doing swell. Excellent. Well, just about 5 minutes ago, I had a doe with a fawn walk across the road on the tar road here on my way to work, and I helped a little fawn across the road, and it curled up, so that was pretty cool.
Oh,
that's awesome.
I love that. What, did it just decide to stop in the road?
It was like the size of a football when it laid down. I just stopped in the middle of the road and was like, come on, keep going, buddy, because it was slipping all over the road.
Yeah, you're
I suppose, yeah.
On a gravel road?
Yeah. No, on a tar road.
Oh, that was a good thing you did so somebody didn't come by and hit the little guy or gal.
You know, maybe in November, he might pay me back then.
I saw one. I was golfing with my son up at Edgewood Golf Course yesterday, and there was a fawn you could see. It still had the spots on it. It was getting bigger, obviously, but along the riverbank. But anytime you get to see deer out there in the natural setting, it's cool. But the fact that you helped a little one along, good for you.
Yeah, well, you guys have a great day. I'm just getting to work. So.
All right, awesome. Ben. Thanks for calling in. We do appreciate it. Phone lines are always open to you guys, too, and we love hearing the different voices out there and your stories. I mean, that's half the fun, too, the stories you guys share with us.
Yeah, help those fawns out. That helps the deer population, and then when I wake up from my naps, then usually there's more out there on the field.
Well, Ben will probably get that one before you do. Ben, I think Ben probably stays awake.
A little more wide-eyed than I am.
Yeah, he's
that
got...
fresh air, man, I'm telling you, the birds chirp, and there's something about it. It's just, it's...
Yeah. Wait till you have kids. You'll sleep with one eye open, James. Trust me on that one.
I'm sure, yeah. In a few years, I'll be a much better hunter because I'll just...
You just won't get any sleep ever. It doesn't matter where.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I'll just be, you know, both eyes will be wide open.
Yeah, you run on fumes.
Day and night.
What's the best thing you have seen, heard, or done lately? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morn. 701-293-9000. Email studio at wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Amanda says her youngest and last daughter graduated. Well, congratulations to her. Barb says she attended her first grandchild's graduation. That's just a thing. Kids grow up too fast. We, like, didn't think we did. Remember how old you thought you looked when you were 18, graduating from high school? Now you look back at those pictures. It's just
I felt like I was 30, and I looked like I was 14.
Right, but... Yeah. I mean, when you're raising kids or you got grandkids and here they are and they're graduating from high school, it's like, what the heck? Where does time go?
Yeah, I'll tell any you know, if kids are even up at this hour. I don't know. We were from time to time when I was growing up just because you had different events and things of those sorts. But I always said I wanted to grow up fast. And my parents both, I mean, both sets of them were like, you're going to regret that. I regret that. Man, are you kidding me? Going home and not having a worry in the world. There's no responsibilities.
Yeah,
you're not paying your own car insurance. You know, you just kind of were just living life, just kind of skimming the surface of it. You felt like you were on top of the world, and I don't remember. I still enjoy every day, but it's just there's more responsibility.
Well, you got bills to pay. You got to work for a living.
You got to make sure that you're more structured than I had to make sure I was 10, 12 years ago.
I don't think as a kid you realize that. And that's your job as a parent, right, to provide for your children. But as a kid, teenager even, you're just like, I just want to get the heck out of here. I want to graduate. I want to move out on my own. I want to be with my friends. And you don't appreciate or realize it, I guess, just that everything your parents are doing for you until you actually have to be an adult and pay your own bills and pay your own way. And
the first year of college really kicked me into gear. That's for sure.
And it gets stressful too, right? Because usually when you're just starting out or maybe you're only working a part-time job, it's like, okay, I have to have this much money for rent. I still need to eat. I've got to pay my bills. And yeah, that's stressful life when you're trying to figure out where that money's
whether it's
coming in.
It's the financial decisions, making sure that you have the rent money, whether you had the extra couple bucks in case you had a you lost a tire of some sorts or a flat tire that was irreplaceable, so you had to spend $150 on a new tire or
wanted to buy a bag of weed. Oh wait, I mean a case of beer. What?
Yeah.
I was just seeing if he was listening. It's early for Jimmy. He's usually not here quite at this time.
Well, the craziest part about this whole, 5 a.m. morning show start time is more days than not I'm up at this point.
Yeah. Well, because you get here before 6.
Yeah,
because I
kind of, you host a show once in a while, sometimes somebody's off, so my sleep schedule's so wonky once a week or so, I'll just crash early and I'll be up at 3 in the morning. And I'm like, well, what else am I going to do at 3 a.m.? Cafe's not open yet. I could go fishing, but I wouldn't make it to work on time then. Things like that. So I'm just like, all right, I'll just come in a little early and just see what's going on.
Yeah, you get to hang
try
out
and get
with
out of here
a
decent
I.
time than those
oh,
days.
That, see, that's the thing.
It's an attempt.
The earlier you get here, the sooner
you're
you
way
to
more
leave.
Productive in the mornings, too, before the whole staff gets here, too, I realize.
I walk out the door about 10:30, 11, depends on what day of the week it is, how busy I am. People are be just getting to work when I'm leaving for the
exactly.
day.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Well, that's what happens when you get here.
I don't like
2:30.
Those 11 a.m., 10 a.m. start days. That's too late.
Yeah, very late. What's the best thing you have seen, heard, or done lately? If you want to weigh in on our question of the morning, the phone lines are open to you. 701 2939000. Email studio at wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Right now, your national news and sports from ABC. Thursday morning, 5:45. Thanks for hanging out with us. We are Bonnie and Friends. I am Bonnie. Big Game James McCarty filling the seat of Jace Denman today. Jace will be back tomorrow. We'll be fine. You can help me keep Waisaki in line today. That's usually the biggest challenge each and every morning.
I can do my best. I don't know how successful I'll be in that venture.
There's always got to be one that steps out of line. But I think growing up, like in school, I would have been one of those ones who might have stepped out of line, too. I was just a smart aleck. Do you find that hard to believe?
I would have never guessed.
Did you ever have nominations like, you know, prettiest or nicest hair or best dressed? Did you guys do things like that?
Oh, yeah, we had that. Yeah, I was school pride.
You were senior. School pride. Yep. I like that. See, that's what they named me, class rowdy. And it wasn't like I was the party rowdier, but I could get the crowd going.
Yeah.
So that was the definition of class rowdy. Oh, yep. Yeah. I had the wave going before the wave was even a thing.
Yeah, I was dedicated to the craft, whether in football, whether I was in on a snap or I was out on a snap. And yep. During the basketball season, boys and girls, every home game I attended, and I would wear a blue, because our school colors were blue and gold. That gets gold, they called it. And I'd wear a dark blue morph suit. I'd wear that with like a neon colored shorts and a pink t-shirt, bright pink t-shirt. And yeah, I would zip that thing all the way up to the top of my head. And we do everything from the roller coaster. We'd go fishing. We'd do all kinds of just childish shenanigans. And we did it all the way into the state tournament my senior year when we won state for boys basketball. Mm-hmm. And when we got to the Target Center, they told me I wasn't allowed to wear it to cover my face with it.
Oh.
So I could wear it, but I just had to have it tucked in from like shoulders down, basically, or I guess up to the neck area. But did that.
Rules.
And then same thing in baseball, too. I mean, that's just how we were.
You were like me. You were the crowd leader.
Yeah. Somebody had to make a fool of themselves, and that just happened to be me.
Was never a cheerleader, but I was the crowd leader.
Yeah, I thrived. I was not wearing the cheerleader attire.
No, I did for one of my senior photos. One of my friends who was a cheerleader, she borrowed me her skirt and cheerleading outfit, and I put it on. But it was like I was never a cheerleader, just a crowd leader. So
yeah,
I
although
was part of them.
For my graduation party, and I guarantee my parents still have a couple of them. My aunt made this like colorful tutu of sorts, and had me put it on over my shorts.
You should wear that to work.
And so I put on, and just to be funny, I put on, you know, this, it was like a cheap, kind of cheaply, like almost arts and crafts he made, like elastic waistbandy type thing. And I threw that on, and just to be funny, like I pointed, you know, left, and I pointed right, and then I pointed, you know, like straight down, like, hey, you're here. Mm-hmm. And my parents did a bunch of like cardboard cutouts of it, and that went from the highway to the house. Every time there was a turn from about a mile from the house.
They put them out?
Yeah, they just put them out. They stay, and one or two of
was
them
that
got...
that for your graduation
for my
party?
Yeah, my high school graduation. Cool. And one or two got stolen, and I'm pretty certain they're going to come out.
You were probably like Flat Stanley, but Flat James, where you're traveling the country. People are posing
exactly,
for photos with
yeah.
you, and it'll eventually get mailed back to your house.
I think there might have been a buddy or two involved in the thievery of one or two of them that's going to make an appearance on a large day of mine in the next couple of years.
That's funny.
That's my
what's your
that's
large
guess
day
going to
be? Are you going to get married?
I would assume at some point.
You have to find a woman first.
At
you
some
know
point.
This, right? There's a process.
Well,
here,
there is
Jimmy.
A process, yes. I'm starting to learn that, yes. Although we someday. Do see some of those stories, yes, I cannot marry a ghost. I cannot marry myself, so I do have to. I got to find somebody.
Oh, someday.
I need to find somebody stable because I'm a little bit off the rocker.
Yeah. No, right? You're fun.
Or is it the other way? Maybe I need to
find somebody stable. Stay away from the rest of those ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Someday
so,
we're going to find a woman for you
and there's any
and
stables
my son.
Out there listening, I'm here.
Doesn't matter. He's got wide open the age demos from about 20 to 80. If you're single, willing to mingle, give Jimmy a call.
Oh, man. We're short on weddings this summer, but I'm sure we can find events.
We need to get you married. We need to find you a woman first. All right. Chance of rain the next couple of days. 30% chance today, 20% chance tomorrow. Saturday, the best chance at 40% and 30% chance of showers on Sunday. The winds are going to pick up Sunday, too. And we might see that smoke come back in on Sunday here locally, Dina was saying, as we see the winds switch to out of the north-northwest. Question of the morning, if you want to weigh in on it. Our phone lines are always open, and we love to chit-chat with you. 701-293-9000. What is the best thing you have seen, heard, or done lately? You guys aren't that boring. You all have been doing, seeing, or hearing things. Let us hear about it. You can also email us, studio@wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Mark says, and I saw pictures of this, thank you for what you did, you and the crew. He helped trim the trees and clean up the Moorhead American Legion Veterans Memorial. Nicely done. Trevor works hard. He parties hard. He likes to go to concerts. Last Friday in Minneapolis, he was headbanging to some evil disco. And he loves the band Static X. Are you familiar with those? I've heard him talk about evil disco, I think.
I'm not familiar,
Is that a thing or is that a band? Is evil disco like EDM music, but it's different?
There's got to be a band, right?
I don't know. He didn't capitalize it. I don't know. But he put Static X. He goes, I love this band, because he put a picture with it, Static X. But I wonder if evil disco is like a genre of music.
It's a self-proclaimed genre popularized by the band Static X.
Oh, okay. And that's who he posted a picture of.
A term used to describe their unique blend of
evil disco. That's funny.
Industrial metal, danceable rhythms.
Yeah.
And a dark, humorous, sometimes comedic tone.
Huh, interesting. That sounds about right for something Trevor would go to, but he loves to travel to concerts. He goes to a lot of them. I never thought, you know, especially for news purposes, obviously I wouldn't do that, but on air when we're doing research, I never thought, like, I'm not going to use AI. Why would I? But when we Google search quick, you were just reading AI, weren't you? Because that's what comes up quick when we're Google searching.
It was, the AI overview,
It's actually kind of handy.
It can be at times, but when it comes to like full
fact checking, you don't want to trust it. But for like a quick Google search on something dumb we're talking about, works for me.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I saw this, and it involved an athlete who was showboating here. High school athlete, California track star. She won the state title. They stripped it because of the way she celebrated afterwards. I guess she grabbed a fire extinguisher and it like was using it on her spikes, like I'm hot.
Oh yeah.
And the governing board for sports in California did not like it. They disqualified her. Her name is Clara Adams. She was disqualified from North Salinas High for grabbing that fire extinguisher, using it to put out spikes after she won the event. They say it was unsportsmanlike. I agree. Her dad says the stunt was done away from other competitors. It was not meant to be disrespectful. He also says the crowd loved it. However, fire extinguishers are not meant to be messed around with. I had a friend in college who got freshman year, mind you, just met Amy. She was a lot of fun. Probably partied with her a few times. It was like the first month of college, and she got kicked out of the dorms because she, being funny, grabbed a fire extinguisher off the wall and sprayed it.
Oh, boy.
That was enough to get her kicked out of the dorms.
That sounds right.
Yeah. That wouldn't have... If that happened to me and I had to explain that to my dad, I would have been killed, probably.
We had a student or two that pulled the 2 a.m. fire alarms.
Did they get caught?
Yep. We also had...
Did they get reprimanded?
Yeah, yeah. Something, so the first one was a warning to everybody, and then they also had to give the warning of, because when I was first getting to school is when vapes were becoming big.
Oh.
Do not disable your in-room.
This was in high school.
No, in college.
Okay.
Freshman year of college. Do not disable the fire alarms in your room, the smoke detectors in your room. And, of course, a student or two still tried to do it. Mm. And when you try and disable one of those and you don't know what you're doing, it will set all of them off.
Yeah, in a building
and so
like
that's happened. Yeah, we had three or four times that year where somebody would be just a bonehead and they would try and disable those things, or they would try and like cover them up, or they would try and vape or whatever. And, you know, 3 a.m. getting woken up from a dead sleep with those alarms going off, just squealing, and it's December or January.
And you have to evacuate. Yeah.
you're basically in shorts and either a sweatshirt or jacket, whatever you could grab, as you're, because you're not processing what's going on. I'm coming, waking up from a full sleep, and you sit out there and you gotta wait. What I found out, the fire departments are the only ones that can turn it off.
Yep.
They have a special, whether it's the key or whatnot, that at least the administrators within the buildings didn't have for our dorms. Well, sometimes it takes a few minutes to get over there, and you know what turns out to be a 6 to 8 minute process feels like 2 to 3 hours when you're shivering
a good
the whole time.
20 minutes to a half hour, by the time they go into a bit, and then they have to check.
Because they have to clear it. Yeah,
they don't know.
It's a half hour process.
Kids, you just shake your head.
Yep.
Yeah.
They're something.
I remember it. I wasn't me, but I remember being there and viewing it. And it was just kids monkeying around with hacky sacks were big when I was in college. They were monkeying around with a hacky sack in the hallways of the dorms outside the elevators. And one of them kicked it and actually hit a sprinkler head. And the sprinkler head went off.
Really?
Yeah, that wasn't too cool either. But stuff like that happens. And they were sober, but stuff like that happens. Best thing you've seen, heard, or done lately? That's our question of the morning here on Bonnie and Friends, 701-293-9000. Email studio at wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Time to check in with WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel. 5:58 Thursday morning, getting closer to the weekend. We see some of you sneaking out of town already. It's going to be okay.
I wish I was.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be nice?
No, I want to stay home. I was out of town last weekend, so I don't want to do anything. Maybe a round of golf. Of course, I golfed yesterday. I'm going to golf tonight in Ladies League, and maybe another trip out there. Well, I mean, like, why not? Got to do something.
Yeah, I got to fill the time.
Mm-hmm. Next weekend, my nephew is coming with his wife and three little girls. They're ages 6 and younger, 2 to 6.
And they're
wild. They're energetic. Like feral. They're like feral children, feral cats. Yes, it will be very energetic.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of movement.
Yeah.
A lot of bouncing around.
They're adorable because I love kids at any age, whether they're babies, whether they're teenagers. You know, kids like that are just so fun, even though they bounce around a lot. Like last time, it was the first time because I haven't had any littles to take because this wasn't around when my kids were little. But there's like a children's museum in Moorhead off, I think it's Center Avenue. Kids something. And so we took the two older ones. The mom is like, we're not taking the 2-year-old. So it's like, you, dad, you need to watch her. But we went over there and it was really fun. They got to do like dress up. They had like a firefighter uniform. And then they had like some, you could make, you know, like a kitchen area. And they had things you could climb on and bounce on. It was absolutely adorable for kids in that age demo. So I think Midwest Kids Fest is next weekend. And I told the mom that we can go do this. This is free too. But I know they want to go to a Redhawks game.
No.
So next weekend, I'm going to be busy. I might have to nap this weekend.
Store up the hours.
These three girls are wild. Maybe you should come over and watch them for a few hours.
Try and corral everybody. That sounds interesting.
They're adorable, though.
Yeah, Redhawks, they are home next weekend.
Yeah, they are. So I think we're going to do that, too. But it'll be a fun weekend. 6 o'clock, we are WDAY Fargo. 6:02, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki has arrived, bringing the sunshine this morning. That's
I always try to bring sunshine to your life, Bonnie. You should know that by now.
Yeah, you're just a storm cloud and a big, strong gust of wind some days.
Some days. That's a good way
it's
to put
be
a mini hurricane. There you go. Well, another nice, pleasant start to the morning with temperatures in the 40s, upper 40s to low 50s across the area. Cool spot in the state. What do you think it is? And what's the temperature?
In North Dakota?
Yeah. No, in Florida.
We have Minnesota. We're like a border thing.
Okay.
Mohall, and it is 36 degrees.
Ooh, close.
James is like...
James.
He's from Minnesota, too. He's
I'm trying to think of Northwestern. It's not below freeze. It's got to be 33 somewhere.
35. Oh, Bonneau.
Oh, I was
really?
In the right region. Is it Mohall up by Bonneau?
Mm-hmm. So, and next, at the bottom of the hour, we'll do Minnesota side. Coldest spot in the state right now in Minnesota.
Mm.
It's a little chilly in some areas, and we're looking at a beautiful start to the day today. We have light winds out there, and we're going to warm up into the mid-70s today with light northeast winds. And kind of like yesterday, we'll get the building of the afternoon cumulus clouds, and that will lead to some afternoon and evening showers. Now, there will be a steadier rain if you're heading into South Dakota. Upper-level disturbance will pass through South Dakota, giving them some steadier rain across that way. But and then tonight, that area of low pressure down in South Dakota will skirt the southern valley from, let's say, the 94 corridor southward overnight, bringing a few more showers with lows in the low 50s. And I've taken the rain out of the forecast now for Friday.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, Friday looks pretty decent now with temperatures in the mid to upper 70s under mostly sunny to partly cloudy skies. There is some rain back in the forecast for the weekend, though. I'll have those details for you coming up after the bottom of the hour.
I think for those who garden, we actually could use a little rain. I know I had talked to one of my sisters up north, and she said it's actually dry up there.
Yeah, well, if you've got a garden, that's what the hose is for, Bonnie.
Well, that's true, too. That is true, too.
We will see more chances of rain, though, as we head into later next week as well. I was out on the bike trails yesterday, and I knew...
Did you get wet?
Well, I knew there were showers around, and I'm like, you know, big deal. There's nothing that heavy. And so I'm about 4 miles into my bike ride, and here it comes. I'm like, oh, boy. And these drops were like the size of quarters.
You got hit with the late afternoon, like the 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
That was a little more steady.
Yeah, they were like, they were the size of quarters bouncing off my my skull there. But it was, and we're going to, again, today will kind of be a repeat of yesterday. If you're going to be out and about after about 3 o'clock, that's when we'll start to see these showers, even a few thunder showers develop as well.
Yeah, we had some rumbles of thunder out there yesterday, too.
Yeah, not a lot of rain with it. The lower levels are so dry, so a lot of times you'll, as the rain falls, you'll just get wind with it as that as the rain falls. And by the time it gets to the surface, there's not much, there's no moisture.
Yeah.
The dew points are low, so the, I think the relative humidity yesterday when the rain was falling was 25%.
Wow.
So
the cottonwood trees were really like all cotton was really flying around up on the north side of Fargo yesterday when those thunderstorms.
And today will be the same. The winds won't be strong, but if you get under one of those thunderstorms, you'll get some brief gusty winds.
But first day of Ribfest looked like a nice kickoff. The weather, you know, you didn't, like you said, the rain maybe that 4 o'clock one lasted a little bit longer, but the earlier ones maybe lasted 3-4 minutes.
And today's the same way. And and again, over the weekend, well, and it goes through Sunday, correct? Ribfest goes through Sunday?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. No, I think Saturday.
Saturday's the last day?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good because Sunday looks crappy. So I'll detail more on that after the bottom of the hour.
Okay. I'm going to just make sure I'm right about that, but I think it's 4 days. 4th through June 7th. What day is June 7th? Is that
Saturday?
Yep, so it is Saturday.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
Very good. Okay.
Question of the morning?
Best thing you have seen, heard, or done lately?
Well, you and your velvet voice.
Thank you.
In terms of seeing and
like butter.
Not done, but seeing and heard.
You know what I did yesterday? This is funny because every time I run into Lisa Schwinden, who runs Edgewood Golf Course, now she's moved up to Edgewood, she'll always say, can you do a forecast for us? Can you get on the intercom and do the? I'm like, I'm not going to do the forecast. So she, I didn't see her when I checked in at the clubhouse yesterday. I was with my son. And so I got up on the green on hole one and I did like a personal live forecast for her.
Nice.
And then I sent her a voice recording. She just thought that was
cool. Nice.
Yeah.
You are so sweet.
I can be, but I'm also spicy.
Oh, I...
You see more spice than sweetness.
I'd use another word other than spicy.
You don't want to get on my bad side, don't you?
Spicy works. Spicy works.
No, it's all fun. We're enjoying this weather, too. 6:07, coming up, Flatland Music Flashback, 6:56 this morning, brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo. A music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. We're going to be showcasing this artist. This might be an easy one. His gyrations caused a storm of controversy. Find out who it is. Flatland Music Flashback right around 6:56. It is not Big Game James McCarty. It's a bigger deal than that.
And, hey.
he is a little bit bigger than you. Yeah, he was. He had a lot more fans than you. Many more fans.
Maybe just a couple.
Mm-hmm. But who's alive and who is not?
Good point.
Exactly. 6:08, your national news right now from ABC. Then James has a check on your WDAY Radio Sports. 6:12, Big Game James McCarty has a check on your WDAY Radio Sports.
The Twins, for the third straight evening last night, take a victory over the Athletics in Sacramento, this time by a score of 6-1. Zebby Matthews went five strong innings, gave up only one run en route to his first victory of the 2025 campaign. A two-run shot from Harrison Bader, a solo home run, and two RBI from Ryan Jeffers to lead the way. Twins and A's conclude this four-game set this afternoon at 2:35. Billy Ober on the mound for the Twins, and the Twins currently in second place in the AL Central. Bad news for Minnesota baseball, well, Twins fans. Pablo Lopez set to miss extended time for the Twins after his start Tuesday night was cut short due to a little bit of soreness and looked to be maybe even tightness of sorts. He had an MRI yesterday. It revealed that he had a grade 2 strain of his teres major area after exiting that matchup against the A's. So he's going to miss somewhere between 8 and 12 weeks as he recovers from that setback. The 29-year-old ace has a 5-3 record with a 2.82 ERA and 11 starts so far this season. Fargo Moorhead Redhawks dropping another matchup to the Monarchs last night. It was this time by a score of 3-2. All three runs for the Monarchs were scored in the second. The Redhawks scored both of their runs in the fifth, and it was a two-run homer by Peter Brookshaw that got those runs across. Redhawks Monarchs wrap up this four-game set this evening at 7:02. The Redhawks looking to try and split the four-game set. We look towards the state softball tournament in Class 2A. Hawley, the Lady Nuggets, they are the sixth seed, but they found a way to not only win the state quarterfinal, but last night in 11 innings, they edged out Jackson County Central 2-1 to punch their ticket to the state championship against four-seeded St. Cloud Cathedral. That will be on Friday late afternoon, a 4 o'clock start time, first pitch for that one. So looking forward to seeing Hawley in a state championship matchup for softball here this weekend. In the Stanley Cup playoffs, saw the Edmonton Oilers edge out the Florida Panthers 4-3 in overtime. Leon Draisaitl, he would have the game's first goal and the game's last goal, the walk-off one additionally. Edmonton leads that best-of-seven series 1-0. Puck will drop at 7 p.m. on TNT on Friday night for Game 2 of that series. The NBA's postseason has the NBA Finals finally upon us after a week of no basketball. It's been literally a week at this point. They set the date 3 months ago. They said, we're not moving. And I'm all right, whatever. Oklahoma City hosts Indiana, so the Thunder take on the Pacers tonight. 7:30 will be tip-off. Game coverage available nationally on ABC. And as well on the hardwood, Minnesota Lynx star forward Nafisa Collier, the Western Conference player of the month for the month of May, averaging 27 points, 8 rebounds, just shy of 4 assists and a couple of steals a game as well. The Lynx off to an 8-0 start, best in the WNBA, half a game ahead of the New York Liberty, who are 7-0, and they play tonight. Minnesota will continue its early season success, hopefully, on Sunday when they head to Dallas to battle the Wings.
I maybe should feel bad that I haven't gotten into them yet. I got into college women's basketball because of the buzz about the Caitlin Clark, who's now playing in the WNBA.
And she's out for about another week or so. She had a 2-week kind of, what was it, a strain of some sorts, they called it, of whatnot.
So I'm following her now in the WNBA. So I'm first starting to watch WNBA games, but I haven't locked into the Minnesota Lynx yet. And then Paige Becker's a little bit, being a little Minnesota native.
Yeah, Paige Becker's is cool. She's a little bit banged up right now as well. I don't know if she'll play on Sunday just because she got a little bit banged up. But, you know, hopefully she'll be back out on the court pretty quick. Same with Caitlin Clark, because there are a couple of electric players that have brought a lot of new eyes to the league, and it's been really cool to see, especially with one being an Iowa native, one being a Minnesota native, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they were, of course, you know, decent-sized towns, you know, when you look at, you know, Paige in Minnesota and then Caitlin. I can't remember where Caitlin's from in Iowa, but, you know, they weren't quite farm towns, but they weren't metropolis
not
type cities.
Not big city kids,
They weren't larger cities like Fargo and places like that.
Well, or big cities elsewhere in the country. So,
It wasn't like a Chicago or an LA or a Dallas suburb or something like that. Yeah,
so maybe I'll get to the Minnesota Lynx someday. I have, you know, glanced at a few of their games, but like I said, I'm more of the player and the team that they're on and stuff. So at this point, like, Caitlin Clark is a favorite. I really enjoyed her playing college ball and continued to watch her here in the pros. Isanti, Minnesota, resident on their doorbell camera, 5 bears in her front yard visiting the home. This is a problem, and it looks like it's kind of in a treed/wooded area. When you have bird feeders, you really should take those down if you got bears around.
Oh, yeah,
because you're basically giving them food. They don't know that that's potentially for the birds
or
the deer or whatever.
Yeah, they don't associate it being in a little birdhouse versus on the ground.
And if they get into a bird feeder or whatever, they can cause a lot of damage. Garbage cans, whatever. When you live in areas like that, you do have to take precautions to kind of not have the bears. I wouldn't want to walk out in the morning. Even when I met my mom and dad's, they live in the woods too. And there's bears. I've never seen any in our yard. We see deer that'll come up. But I don't want to walk out getting something out of my vehicle in the middle of the night and you know, get spooked by a bear or spook the bear, and you never know what they do.
Well, exactly, so. Yeah.
But that's not a common sight that you see five of them gathered at once.
Yeah. Now, of course, that one, I would imagine, I haven't seen the photo. If there's cubs there, that's a whole different scenario. But
yeah, it looks like there's five. The picture I'm looking, it's a video here. It looks like, you know, mama and then potentially four could be cubs. Looks like maybe four cubs. Potentially, yeah. Maybe a mom, dad, three cubs. It's kind of hard to tell by the pictures, but one's bigger for sure.
For the most part, around this general vicinity of the country and where your parents live out in the range and whatnot, it's black bears. So
yeah,
and black bears are very.
Is that when we pretend we're big?
Yeah, very skittish.
Hey,
they're
bear.
Very,
hey, bear.
Very spook. Yeah, they get they spook very easily.
Yeah,
you do that with a grizzly bear, you're gonna go up north. Mm-hmm. You're gonna go visit the good Lord if you do that with a grizzly bear, but with a black bear,
you got a fighting chance. Yeah. Okay.
Well, with a black bear, you're just gonna scare them because they're. I don't know if this is a good way to explain them, but I mean they're
a little more
they're
skittish.
They're very skittish. Yeah. I mean they're just there's
which
something where if you look big and you get loud, they're like, I'll go find a different garbage can to dig in, and they're off and running because they don't like conflict, but. Yeah, grizzlies and polar bears, that is their MO, is conflict.
I remember we were in sixth grade, and we lived on the edge of town, so we were in the woods. But, I mean, you're talking a downtown area or whatever, and I think Roger Rudolph went home for lunch and discovered that there was a bear cub up in his tree. So, of course, what do you do when you're in fifth, sixth grade? You come back and tell all your buddies, and then all your buddies, we go there. So we're what? And police had come, you know, because his cub was in the yard. But it's like, as a kid, you don't realize, like, that's a bear. What if that bear comes down the tree, and goes after you? But we thought that was so cool, just standing under the tree looking at the cub. And I'm sure, I don't know anymore if the cops told us to leave or not, but we had to get back to class because we didn't want to be late for class. In other wildlife news, this is here on the golf courses, geese are all around, right? We'll see geese. Sometimes you'll see an occasional duck, but mainly geese.
Yeah, the ducks tend to stay in the pond. The geese tend to walk the fairways and leave their
littles
droppings.
Are getting bigger now. Oh, droppings all over the place, yeah. In Colorado, a peacock created a hazard on a golf course.
Colorado, huh?
That's not something you see every day.
That had to have escaped from somewhere, huh?
Probably somebody's, or like Mariah, our friend Mariah has a peacock.
Oh, yeah, I suppose, yeah. Some like the hobby farmer. Yeah.
Yep, or a zoo. It doesn't say where it came from, but the police officer obviously took a picture because it's not an everyday sight, and they posted it on social media. Just another day on the green, they said. But people were taking pictures of it. It's, it's peacock size, right? So it's a pretty good sized bird, and then it's got your long. That would be cool. I would be taking pictures of that, too.
Yeah, like try and build a nest out on the green, or was it just there?
It doesn't say. The story's not long enough. It just said it was a wandering peacock that made its way to the golf course, creating a hazard for golfers and, of course, the bird itself.
Oh, so it was just kind of running around, basically, like a chicken.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, what would you do? You grab your phone out, right?
Oh, yeah.
Slow down the golf round, too, as you're taking pictures of it. A major bust of a retail crime ring. Unbelievable how far it stretched across the country and how many people have been rounded up so far. We'll talk about that straight ahead. Good Thursday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Bonnie Amistadi, Big Game James McCarty. Jace will be back tomorrow morning. Got a big announcement coming up on the Jay Thomas Show, 4:20 this afternoon. Another chance for one of you to win big, but we're going to get a lot of qualifiers. So be listening for the official details this afternoon on the Jay Thomas Show. And then make sure you get yourself registered. It is going to be super fun, and this is something everybody is going to want to win, including us, but we can't. So there's that. A couple of other things. The Fargo South Bruins football team would love it if you could mark this on your calendar and show up tomorrow. They are holding a car wash fundraiser from 10 to 2, and they're going to be set up in the Family Fair parking lot right off 25th Street, 32nd Avenue South. All proceeds from the fundraiser benefiting the Fargo South Bruin football team. Again, tomorrow from 10 to 2, Family Fair parking lot, 3175 25th Street South in Fargo. Surfing news stories yesterday, because that's what I do. That is my life. That's all I do. I leave here, and then I'm on my phone surfing news stories for about the next 7 hours. In between golf, I did that. Whenever we got held up on the golf course, it's like, I'm going to catch up on news because I don't want to miss anything. I was shocked when I came across this story on a major retail crime crackdown. Hundreds of people arrested. 28 states involved here. The blitz was led by Cook County Regional Organized Crime Task Force out of Illinois. Involved more than 100 jurisdictions, 30 different retailers, including some of the big ones, Home Depot, Macy's, Target, Ulta Beauty, Walgreens, and Kroger. I've never heard this term before. I've heard kingpin, but I've never heard queenpin. Michelle Mack, a California woman, was the queenpin accused of running this retail crime ring targeting. Well, it started with Ulta Beauty stores, but then it went out from there. But 28 states, more than 100 arrests here so far. Hundreds. Make that plural. Hundreds of arrests.
That's insane.
Totally. Wow. Well, some stores just like, stores vary. My daughters have worked in different retail stores over the years, their teenage years, especially when they were growing up. And there were some stores, even here in town, like in the mall, for instance. Some stores will prosecute shoplifters. Some won't. They just, whatever, they just let it go. They don't want any confrontation there. Let's see. Some critics point to a lack of enforcement and felony thresholds for allowing criminals to continue committing theft. And this is something that the Cook County State's Attorney in Illinois, Eileen O'Neill Burke, has been focusing on since she took office in December. It's not right. And people who shoplift like this, what does it do? It just raises the price for all of us because they need to recoup their losses.
Yeah, and that's not great for anybody.
Mm-mm. They say it's hard to have a full grasp on the numbers for retail theft. But retailers reported 93% more shoplifting incidents on average in 2023 compared to 2019. 90% of them reported an increase in the amount of losses over that same period.
Hmm.
I would imagine, I mean, if it's 28 states, what's it to say that it wouldn't be more states and many more arrests? State's attorney has been in office since December. She went to work quickly here, getting everybody to make a massive sweep like that in all the different jurisdictions involved here. Wow.
Clearly had motive of some sorts to try and minimize and, I suppose, get after those types of things.
Mm-hmm. They say, Walgreens Director of Media Relations says organized retail crime is one of the most significant challenges in their industry. This most recent operation, they helped work with law enforcement partners across 20 cities, 28 states at 40 different locations. That's just Walgreens. That's not all these other ones. A representative for Home Depot says overall theft is down, but they've investigated dozens of incidents of organized retail theft.
I mean, yeah, that's just, I mean, even locally here, like in Fargo-Moorhead, if you go to any of your places, right?
Yeah, you work at a retail store. Yeah.
Target, Walmart, Home Depot, any of them of sorts, over a certain dollar value, right? Anything from a vacuum to a video game, to, even some places like Legos get up to high values where we'll have some things like that even locked up nowadays. Whether it's they have the spider wire wraps or they have them behind glass or whichever, it's unfortunate because it's a very small, minute number of people, but it's led to obviously enough of a...
A loss for of those
a
lot. Companies.
Yeah, there we go. That's the word.
You added all.
It's such a simple word. But
no,
yeah.
And sometimes
yeah,
I'm like a, that too. Like yeah, you're searching
it,
for the word.
It just led to such a large loss that, I mean, you have all kinds of people, even seeing, you know, different like power drill batteries and stuff like that. And sometimes people will have to sit and wait a handful of minutes while somebody's on operating equipment or while somebody is tied up in other areas just to get an item. And it's because, I mean, they're an honest person, but unfortunately somebody else wasn't 3 months ago. And they don't want to risk it.
Mm-hmm. Well, even some like pharmacies or stores like, you know, like the Walgreens or the CVS or whatever, maybe not here. I mean, they do lock some stuff up, But elsewhere in some of the bigger cities where they really had rash of shoplifting and theft, they're even locking up toiletries like toothbrushes and soaps and shampoos. And it's like, how sad is that when you can't even go and, you know, pick what you need off the shelf, put it in your cart and go pay for it because there's been such a high rate of theft. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But this is incredible, like I said, and I'm sure this will continue to grow. But a major organized retail crime crackdown resulting in hundreds of arrests across 28 states. Stay tuned for more details on that. It is 6:30. 6:33, got some clouds that have built in. Chief Meteorologist Dean Mysaki here with a check on our forecast.
Okay, so I promise. All right, the cold spot in North Dakota, Bontineau, 35.
Yeah.
Cold spot in Minnesota.
Ada.
No, it's going to be Cook County, 34.
Or International Falls, somewhere up
there. No, International Falls is a good guess.
No, Hibbing, 36.
Chibbing, yeah.
Really?
Did you say Chibbing?
My friends always call it Chibbing because Chisholm and Hibbing are 6 miles apart, okay. So they just blend it into Chibbing.
Gotcha. Yeah, we do have a few clouds in the area right now, and temperatures in the upper 40s to low 50s. Now, today, almost a carbon copy of yesterday, although we started off with more sun yesterday. We've got a few more clouds around this morning, and we'll see a few isolated afternoon, evening showers developing with highs today in the mid-70s and a light northeast wind. Now, showers are a good bet from the 94 corridor southward tonight. So the further south you go, let's say down towards Wahpeton, stand a better chance of seeing a little more in the way of accumulating rain. With lows tonight in the low 50s. And then Friday, the sun returns. Yay! And we're going to see a pretty decent day with highs in the upper 70s. Now, I took the rain out of the forecast because there will be one or two pop-up showers from the valley eastward. But I'll tell you what, most of us are going to stay dry, so I just took it out of the forecast. Watch it pour over Fargo. That'd be the one cell that develops right over Fargo.
Dean
said
it wasn't going to rain.
He said it wasn't going to rain, man. Where does he live? And then the weekend, we will have a cold front approaching the area on Saturday. And that will trigger off some showers and thunderstorms after about 4 o'clock. So the first half of the day on Saturday looks good. But as we get towards evening, that cold front pushes through. These will be quick-moving storms. And behind it, the rest of the evening should be dry. So we'll see about an hour or 2 hour window of showers and storms on Saturday. And then we should clear things out Saturday night. It's going to be windy though. As that cold front pushes through, the winds will switch from the southwest to the northwest. Highs on Saturday, mild upper 70s, and then Sunday's crap. Partly cloudy skies, windy, scattered showers throughout the day. We could see that smoke come back into the area on Sunday as well, with highs only in the 60s on Sunday. But we rebound next week, low to mid 70s on Monday. A few showers possible with the heating of the day. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we dry it out, warm it up. A lot of sun. Low 80s on Tuesday, mid to upper 80s Wednesday and Thursday.
Oh, good. The mosquitoes will be coming.
We haven't really had a lot of rain.
We did have the rain, but we haven't had the warm, but the warm will be coming.
The warm will be coming.
Locally here, I mean, they've been treating here, Cass County Vector Control, but if you're in the lakes area, in the woods and stuff, I imagine you're starting to see. I haven't seen them, even on the golf course yesterday. I haven't seen mosquitoes yet, but it's not long. Yeah. They'll be here.
Speaking of, how'd you shoot? You didn't say anything.
I did pretty good. My son and I both did really well. We lost a lot of balls, though. I have no idea where they went.
Really?
And lost some of that.
At
Edgewood? Awesome hits coming up hills.
At Edgewood.
Yeah, I lost one. It was a straight up the hill. I don't know if it was 14, whatever hole it was, 15 that comes up a hill. Beautiful hit. Go up there. Can't find. No, I was not drinking. I had a Diet Pepsi.
Yeah.
My son lost most of them. I think I only lost. Well, I lost two, but I found one. So I lost one. Logan lost 5 balls. I think Logan had – he didn't even tell me my score.
He didn't tell you my score.
Once again, I beat him for sure on the front nine, and I fell apart on the back nine.
Come on, Logan.
I should just quit after 9 holes.
Right?
No, but it was fun. We had a good time out there. But
you're great in a scramble. Oh,
My putting was on yesterday. I was actually putting.
Was it good?
Yeah, maybe if I can stick with that the rest of the summer, that would
be nice.
Oh, you never mind. He's trying to take
money. When I can start golfing again, which is sometime in July – I'll find out today if I can golf in July, but that's what the doc said. And then, me, you, Greg are going out and
Jimmy,
and
James. Jimmy's got, I love
golfing
with Jimmy.
Oh, you guys ready to have some fun, huh?
Yep.
We're playing for a shot a hole.
Okay. I just give him $20 because we're going to end up losing it anyway.
No, hey, as long as I have somebody that can hit their driver, because I can't hit my driver worth a crap.
I'll drive for you.
Yeah, you can.
Oh, she's a great driver.
If somebody can keep a driver on the fairway, I can chip a little bit from time to time. I can putt just fine.
Oh, good. We're
and I can derail the opponent because of the way that I talk trash. I legitimately had a buddy last weekend who was...
It's definitely Happy Gilmore golf, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%.
James never goes down the fairway. He goes way left or way right. It's never... You got to rope
my putt game's on. I had a buddy who, he legitimately was on the fairway, depending on how clean he hit it, between 250 and 300 every drive for the first 14 holes. I made a couple of comments towards him as we walked up to the tee box on 15. He didn't hit a fairway the last four holes.
Oh, no. Oops. You got in his head totally.
I was like, that's what you get. He was up like 25 shots on me. Those holes in a big, it was a lost cause, but I tried.
We used to play with guys, and, you know, after a few drinks, you know, whoever was in the lead, kind of the same thing. In the middle of the backswing, the guys would yell, ah! Oh, that's just wrong,
gotta
man.
Gotta love your friends. Good morning, friend. Who's this? Hello?
Did we get butt dialed?
Oh, yeah, butt dialed twice in a row. I thought, they called back twice. I thought it was important or something like that. There wasn't a tree my son did not find yesterday up at Edgewood. He
really?
Hit so many trees.
I'll have to, when we go out in July, I'll have to bring out my Bevcart Bandit polo. It's a raccoon digging in the garbage can.
Nice.
It's splotched all over the polo.
Nice.
He looks kind of like he's a little bit drunk, maybe, but, you know, that's all right.
Yeah.
Jimmy brings the fun. Jimmy and I bring the fun. So, yeah, we'll have a nice foursome.
The talent is not me, unless you're talking about, you know, maybe the trash shot game.
There you go.
Yeah, we like that. Well, at least
that's
you're bringing
I thrive.
Something.
Humbling people.
6:39, we're going to get your national news in from ABC. Check in with the American Ag Network. And James has your WDAY Radio Sports. 6:44, Big Game James McCarty has a check on your WDAY Radio Sports.
Moorhead native and former student assistant of the Dragon Men's Basketball Program, Jacob Soblik, who spent the last season as a graduate assistant with Minot State, the Beavers, and the Men's Basketball Program, helping them to their first ever Division II men's Basketball National Tournament appearance in the Division II era. He has now accepted an opportunity with Concordia College, the Cobbers, as head coach Tyler Borman has announced that Jacob will be hired on as an assistant coach for the Cobbers for the upcoming men's basketball season. And he's a great addition from my eyes as to what he can bring to that Cobber men's basketball program. Looking forward to seeing what Coach Sobolek, Borman, and company bring to Concordia College men's hoops this upcoming season. Keeping things on the hardwood for a moment, you have the Minnesota Lynx and their star forward, Nafisa Collier. She was named the Western Conference Player of the Month for May, averaging 27 points, 8 rebounds, right about 4 assists, and a couple of steals a game, helping the Lynx out to an 8-0 start, their best start since their last WNBA championship in the 2017 season. Nafisa Collier and her Lynx will visit the Dallas Wings on Sunday afternoon. The NBA Finals finally here in Oklahoma City tonight. Game number one between the Thunder and Pacers. Tip off at 7:30. Game coverage available nationally on ABC. That's where you can find coverage for that entire series. The NHL Stanley Cup Final got underway last night with the Oilers and Leon Draisaitl scoring the first and last goal of the game. Draisaitl gets himself two goals in the victory. A walk-off win in overtime, 4-3 Oilers over the Panthers. Sam Bennett did have two goals for Florida. But Edmonton leads this series 1-0. Game 2 in Edmonton on Friday night on TNT. That's where you can find full coverage of the entire Stanley Cup Final this next couple of weeks. Twins take down the A's 6-1 on Wednesday night. Zebby Matthews gets four strikeouts over five innings, only give up one run in his first win of the 2025 season. Harrison Bader drove in two runs on a two-run shot. Ryan Jeffers drove in two runs, including one on a solo home run. Twins and A's conclude this four-game set. Twins looking for a sweep this afternoon at 2:35 with Bailey Ober set to get the nod for Minnesota. Twins currently in second place in the AL Central, six games behind Detroit, a half a game ahead. Cleveland for third in the division. And unfortunately for Twins fans, Pablo Lopez out for an extended period of time. He got a little bit banged up. He had some soreness on Tuesday night, ended his start after five innings. An MRI yesterday revealed a grade 2 strain of his teres major area, which is in his right shoulder, his throwing arm shoulder. That'll put him out for the next 8 to 12 weeks as he recovers. The 29-year-old has a 5-3 record with a 2.82 ERA and 11 starts this season. The Twins are going to need to rely on their depth now over the next two, almost 3 months as they move forward. And Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks baseball dropping a matchup to the Monarchs of Kansas City last night. Gave up all three runs in the second inning. They look to try and split this four-game set this afternoon, or this evening, excuse me, as they take on the Monarchs again at 7:02 at Newman Outdoor Field before hitting the road this weekend. Sports this hour, well, brought to you by Pebble Lake Golf Club, as it's been voted one of the top 25 public courses in the state of Minnesota. You can find out why when you book a tee time online at playpebblelake.com.
Thursday, 7:10, we do Lawn and Garden Radio. Jill Patry, Clay County Extension horticulture educator, will be joining us. You can call in then with your questions, or if you want to email them in now to studio@wdayradionow.com, you can do that. We're heading back to the American Ag Network shortly. 6:53, straight ahead, Flatland Music Flashback, brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. We're going to be showcasing these rockers. They smashed a record held by the Beatles. It happened in 1971. Find out who it is. Flatland Music Flashback, that's straight ahead. Time for Flatland Music Flashback, Flatland Guitar, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs.
1956, Elvis appeared on ABC's Milton Berle Show. During the performance, Elvis abruptly halted an up-tempo rendition of Hound Dog with a wave of his arm.
He then launched into a slow, grinding version, accentuated with energetic, exaggerated body movements. His gyrations created a storm of controversy, and from there on, cameras would only show him from the waist up. You don't even know who Milton Berle is, do you?
I don't. Okay. But I find that interesting about the camera angles.
Well, that 1950s,
I suppose that was
naughty.
A little bit more controversial,
yeah,
back then, right?
Exactly.
That wasn't on MTV back then.
No, it wasn't.
1959, Bob Zimmerman graduated from high school in Hibbing, Minnesota. I know a couple people from that neck
you
of the
sure
woods.
Do.
Zimmerman, who later changed his name to Dylan, was known as a greaser because of his long sideburns and leather jacket. He led a high school band called The Golden Chords.
Like a Rolling Stone, hit number two on the Billboard charts in 1965. It was kept out of the top spot by the Beatles, of course, Help. In 2014, Dylan's handwritten lyrics to the song sold for $2 million, a world record for a popular music manuscript.
Wow. In 1971, American blues rock band Grand Funk Railroad smashed the record held by the Beatles when they sold out New York's Shea Stadium in 72 hours.
The band never got much critical acclaim, but they were a crowd favorite, packing arenas and stadiums around the world. They've had a few breaks over the years. They're still together with a very few lineup changes over the past close to 50 years.
Wow. In 1977, Alice Cooper's boa constrictor, a co-star of his live act, suffered a fatal bite from a rat it was being fed for breakfast.
Oops.
Cooper held auditions for a replacement. A snake named Angel got the gig.
Ah. Godfather of Shock Rock is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. School's out for summer on Rolling Stone's list of 500 greatest songs of all time.
In 1983, during a 48-date North American tour, U2 played at Red Rocks Amphitheater near Denver. The show was recorded and released as U2 Live at Red Rocks under a blood red sky.
The performance helped establish U2's reputation globally as a live act. U2 in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, they've won 22 Grammys, more than any other band. How about that?
Wow. Don Reed, lead singer of Statler Brothers.
Yep.
Okay, I was a little bit nervous.
You got it.
He's 80. Quartet sang backup for Johnny Cash before hitting it big. They got their name from a box of tissues in a hotel room. Flowers on the Wall hit number two on the Hot Country Singles chart in 1966.
You bet. And if you're having a birthday today, happy birthday to you too. Oh, Brother Lou, happy birthday to my brother having a birthday today as well. 7 o'clock, Jill Patry, Clay County Extension horticulture educator, will join us to answer your lawn and garden questions coming up in 10 minutes. Call in then or email them in to studio@wdayradionow.com. 7 o'clock, We are WDAY Fargo. James is pokey. He's coming down to let you in, Jill, but he's got to talk to everybody before he gets down the stairs. Jill Patrie, Clay County Extension Horticulture Educator, joining us in about 8 minutes here. If you have any lawn, garden, or tree questions, Mickey, I see yours coming into email, so we'll ask that first. But the rest of you, call in or send in your questions, studio at WDAYRadioNow.com. Were you distracting my little Jimmy?
We're talking baseball.
He finds any distraction he can. He's funny. I'm like, get down there. And I'm just like prompt, you know. I'm like, Jill's waiting. Good thing it's not raining out there.
Right?
Yeah.
Not yet. No.
Oh. But there's some this morning we'll see?
No, or? This morning we're dry, but there is some in the forecast. We've got some Cheech and Chong clouds coming in from South Dakota.
Those, or Moorhead.
Those are the high. Yeah. But yeah, we've got clouds overspreading the area. The models aren't picking this up very well. But there's a disturbance down in South Dakota, and that's going to be shedding a veil of clouds over the area as we head throughout the day. So not as much sunshine today. We'll call it partly cloudy to mostly cloudy throughout the day. And again, we'll likely see some more afternoon showers pop up with highs in the mid-70s. So a little bit cooler than yesterday with winds lightly blowing out of the northeast. And tonight, showers are a good bet from the 94 corridor southward. I think Fargo-Moorhead area will be right on the northern end of that with lows in the low 50s. And then Friday, sunshine returns, that disturbance moves eastward, and we'll have highs in the upper 70s on Friday. Now, Saturday, we're good to go for the first half of the day, but a cold front will be approaching from the northwest, and that will trigger off some showers and thunderstorms as we head after 3 o'clock. And we'll have highs in the upper 70s. It will be breezy out of the southwest, but then those winds whip around to the northwest behind that front Saturday night. And then Sunday, windy, cooler with a few scattered showers and highs only in the upper 60s. If you want the summer weather, that arrives next week. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we'll have highs in the 80s. So finally, summer warmth returns. The weekend, again, kind of looking half and half with the pick day being Saturday, but after about 3-4 o'clock, that's when the winds ramp up, and yeah, we'll see a few showers and thunderstorms. So all in all, not a bad looking forecast. I do foresee these 70s, the long stretch of them, say bye-bye. We've got more of a summer pattern.
Summer's coming.
Summer pattern starting next week.
All right. Weather this hour has been brought to you by the North Dakota Petroleum Foundation. It is 7:05. We're going to get your national news in from ABC. Big Game James McCarty checks out your WDAY Radio Sports. And then Jill Patrie, Clay County Extension Horticulture Educator, joins us to answer your lawn, garden, or tree questions. Call in and ask your questions or send them in to studio at WDAYRadioNow.com. Jill Patrie is in next to answer your lawn, garden, or tree questions. You can call in right now if you want, 701-293-9000, or email the questions in to studio at WDAYRadioNow.com. First of all, a quick check on your WDAY Radio Sports with Big Game James McCarty.
Hey, lots of awesome local things going on and happening right now, from coaches coming in, from state championship teams, and great opportunities like that. But real quick, the Twins, as they continued their series with the A's, they got themselves a big 6-1 victory last night, improving to 34-27 on the year. Zebby Matthews got brought back up this past week again. He got his first win of the 2025 season. They're going to need him to really bolster it up a little bit as the Twins continue that series. They wrap it up actually at 2:35 this afternoon with Billy Ober on the mound. The reason I say that is because after leaving his start early Tuesday, Pablo Lopez, he had an MRI reveal a strain of sorts in his right shoulder area, which is a throwing shoulder, and that's going to knock him out for the next 8 to 12 weeks as he recovers from that and has rehab. So the Twins are going to be down their ace starter as they're in the thicket of a playoff race. I understand it's early June, but you'd be surprised as to come end of August into September how many teams go, man, if we would have played better in May and June, we'd be a little bit deeper into a playoff race. So the Twins needing to really kick it into gear here. Pablo, he has a 5-3 record with a 2.82 ERA in 11 starts this season. The Red Hawks, they dropped their second consecutive game to the Monarchs last night. This time was a score of 3-2. They gave up all three runs in the second inning, and then in the fifth inning, Peter Brookshaw, the Bison alumni who has gotten really accustomed to playing at Newman Outdoor Field, he hit a two-run homer for the Red Hawks.
Nice.
They just couldn't get anything else mustered across after that. So they fall in that matchup. They're going to try and split that four-game set at 7:02 here this evening. In the NHL Stanley Cup Final, Leon Draisaitl scored the game's first and last goal as the Oilers walk off the Panthers 4-3 in overtime to take a 1-0 lead in the Stanley Cup final. Game number two will be in Edmonton on Friday night on TNT for that great opportunity for the Oilers to take control of that series. The NBA's finals begins in Oklahoma City tonight. The Thunder host the Pacers. 7:30 is tip-off. ABC is where you can find that game nationally televised. And Minnesota Lynx star forward Nafisa Collier has been named the Western Conference Player of the Month for May. 27 points a game, 8 rebounds, and just shy of 4 assists per matchup. She's helped the Lynx off to a 8-0 start on the season. The Lynx will visit the Dallas Wings on Sunday afternoon. And final thing of note in sports this hour, Jacob Sobolik, a Moorhead native who was a student assistant for the Dragon men's basketball program for 4 years. He went to go be a graduate assistant with Minot State, helping the Beavers to their first Division II tournament appearance in program history last year. Well, yesterday afternoon, Concordia men's basketball head coach Tyler Borman announcing the addition of Sobolik to the staff as an assistant coach. So congrats to him. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to some more success with the Cobra men's basketball program with a couple of Moorhead natives running that Concordia College men's basketball team.
Very nice. Time now to get your lawn, garden, and tree questions answered. Jill Patrie, Clay County Extension Horticulture Educator, is here. 701-293-9000. Email us studio at wdayradionow.com. Good morning to you, Jill.
Good morning.
I won't call Don Kinsler Jill Don Patrie when I end here today. I did that a couple weeks ago. I didn't even know I did it until Jace caught me. I'm like, well, his wife will be like wondering what the heck is going on. Thanks for coming in. We appreciate it. Already we've got a question coming in. Mickey wants to know. Mickey has an oak and maple, both about 16 inches tall, would like to dig them out and move them to another location. What is the best time to move those, now or would you wait until the fall?
With something that small, now would be okay. Generally, we want to plant trees in the spring and fall because of the cooler temperatures. When we get into the fall planting, we want to make sure we're doing it early enough before the ground freezes too, so that they can establish some roots. But something, a seedling that small, I would say now would be fine.
Isn't it easier to move to when it's smaller versus larger?
Yeah, definitely.
Has less roots too, I suppose.
Yep. And less impact on the plant, stress for it.
Okay, and like now before it gets warmer next week too would be a good time?
Yeah, well, July usually and August are pretty hot.
Because that can stress the tree too,
right? It can, sometimes we have to move things and plant things at that time of year, but watering, keeping up on watering with new plants is important.
We just planted a new burning bush. Thank you, Sharon, for the picture a few weeks back, so I knew, oh yeah, I want that. How often should we be watering that? It's pretty established.
So usually after a month of watering trees and shrubs and perennials, you can reduce your watering. Okay. But when they're newly planted, you're looking at 1 to 2 times a week, depending on if we get rain or not. Trees, you're generally putting on, so if they came in like a 5-gallon bucket, you're going to put on roughly 5 gallons of water once or twice a week.
Oh, that's a good eyeball thing to figure out. So if it was in a 2-gallon bucket, then about 2 gallons?
Yeah, roughly.
Interesting.
And then it depends on rain, too. So we wouldn't want to be watering every day if we're getting rain every day, too, if we're getting like an inch or so. But that's rule of thumb.
That's good to know, because sometimes I'll just give them a little schnooker, like I'm giving my plants a little schnooker, but the trees and the bushes actually need more.
Yeah, they like to be watered deeply. Okay. And then kind of steadily, like a rain.
Sure.
And then annuals, you're watering kind of more frequently, maybe just giving it a
little schnooker.
Yeah, I don't know how you measure that.
And I've been fertilizing, because I asked you that a few weeks ago. So sure, and I guess if I think about it, I mean, my family, growing up in the greenhouse, we had a big 55-gallon drum with water that had fertilizer in it. So it was like the blue stuff, whatever it's called, 20-20-20 or 10-10-10 or something. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we used on a daily basis. So it makes sense that you would fertilize more often than Bonnie had been doing, and that's why my plants were looking shabby. Jill Patrie is here, Clay County Extension Horticulture Educator. If you have any questions, give her a call. She can answer them for you. 701-293-9000 or email us studio at wdayradionow.com. Mike, like many homeowners here, what does he need to do to get rid of dandelions, and not only dandelions, clover in his lawn? He has sprayed twice with Spectracide this spring, and already it does not faze them, he says.
I would have to look up what the active ingredient for Spectracide is, because I don't know that one off the top of my head. But you're looking for a broadleaf weed killer. With the perennial weeds, it's best to hit them in the fall, really, when they're going dormant, because they will suck that herbicide into their roots. And that's the easier way to kill perennial weeds. Clover, too, same deal.
That's kind of tough, right? The clover, like dandelions?
Yep. So usually we try to hit them when they're smaller, because they're not as robust. So, like, now they're active, they're pretty vigorously growing. You probably will have to apply it multiple times to actually kill a dandelion.
Or enjoy the pretty flowers in your lawn all summer, Mike.
Yeah, that too. So that would be, you want to hit them when they're small. Fall is best to hit dandelions, thistle, creeping Charlie.
That's all another. Guys. All those buggers. Well, that's probably why they're called weeds, because sometimes they're really tough to get rid of.
Yeah, well, weeds are technically a plant in a place you don't want it. That's the
like the garden, everybody, and it's a never-ending process if you have a garden pulling weeds.
Right. Yep. So those are fall's the best time, but spring could also work when they're small. Is really what we're trying to target.
Mm-hmm. Good, like Mike. My husband used to. On our old lawn at our house, he would get out like a picker and he would dig,
you can do that,
hand
pick.
That's a lot of work though. Well, just like pulling weeds, kind of, depending on how many dandelions or clover you have.
Yeah, and sometimes if you have a lot of open space in your lawn too, weeds can take that open space as an advantage to spread more too. So
They like this. I think this is why the weeds have been so bad in recent years. They like drought conditions, right? Like,
some of them do. I mean, dandelions are pretty tough.
They're not picky.
Thistle are tough. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Crabgrass, quackgrass, all that monkey business too.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. 701-293-9000. If you have any lawn, garden, or tree questions, Jill Patry, Clay County Extension Horticulture Educator, is here to answer them. You can email them in if you want. To studio at WDAYradionow.com. One of my neighbors wanted me to ask you, it's her first time planting strawberries this year. Mm-hmm. Her and her toddler were already enjoying a few strawberries that came on them when they planted them. Anything special she needs to know about being a strawberry grower?
They like sun, so hopefully she planted them in the sun.
She put them in full sun. Yes, she did.
You can fertilize them in their first year. I mean, regular, depending on how big the patch is, I guess, and how much she wants to harvest, fertilizing is a good thing. It's producing fruit. Water them really well. And then in the wintertime, you can put straw over them to kind of help overwinter, and then you pull it off in the spring.
That's why my dad used to put straw over his strawberries. Just so they don't freeze during the winter?
Yeah, I think some people lost some strawberries this last winter just because of our lack of snow and moisture in the soil. And kind of, we did have a good stretch of pretty cold temperatures. I think it was in February maybe. Anyway,
yeah, we did have that cold snap because I was watching my grand dog during it was super cold, like 20-25 below. We had a week of that or whatever, 10 days.
So protecting them in the winter time will help overwinter.
Don't you have to, you get runners on them? Is it every 2-3 years you have to plant new ones or something like that?
So the runners are how they kind of multiply themselves. So either you can trim them off, and if they've already kind of made roots in the dirt, you could trim them off, dig them up, and move them. Or if you don't want them to spread, you just trim those runners off.
Very good. I will pass on the info. She's probably up. She's got a toddler. Carolyn wants to know, a neighbor told her you should not plant tomatoes next to potatoes. Is that true? And why would that be the case,
I guess? Tomatoes use a lot of nitrogen.
Okay.
So they kind of are hungry. So I could say that they're probably the hungriest garden vegetable out of the bunch of what people normally plant in a garden. So I could see that. Potatoes and tomatoes have the same insect problems generally. So Colorado potato beetle likes tomatoes too.
Gross.
So if you're planting both, or if you've had those issues before, I maybe keep them apart just so that you don't have a lot of
Is that something in the soil? Because the one year I planted potatoes, then we ended up with them, and I had to call my dad and ask my dad what to do. And it was like, oh, they're kind of gross looking when you pick them off, too. Is it something in the soil?
Well, the grub, the baby, we'll call it a baby Colorado potato beetle, lives and overwinters in the soil and then hatches and then matures on the plant. And then the adult beetles lay eggs. Those come out, feed, and then kind of that's the cycle.
And you kind of have to hit them with some type of insecticide or something?
Yeah. I mean, really picking them off is the most effective because the eggs get laid on the underside of the leaf. So it's really hard to hit with your insecticide. Sure. So usually if you have those, like just turning the leaf over, looking for them, and then picking that leaf off that has eggs, or just picking off the Colorado potato beetle itself, throwing it in a bucket of soapy water, is like what I found is really the most effective way. Now, that's not super efficient for people who have a lot of tomatoes and potatoes, so you can dust or spray for them too.
Smaller scale. The combination of everything you just said, plus the powder I put on, was exactly what my dad told me too. Yeah. And so that's how I got them taken care of. Jill, if our listeners have any questions for you, how do they get a hold of you over at Clay County Extension?
Yeah, my phone is 218-299-7338, or my email is patri350@umn.edu.
Very good. We'll catch you in 2 weeks, okay?
Yep.
Jill Patrie, Clay County Extension horticulture educator, joining us next Thursday. Don Kinsler is back Thursday, 7:10. We do Lawn and Garden Radio right here on Bonnie and Friends. It is 7:23. WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel is going to be joining us shortly. 7:27, time now to check in with WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel. She's on the road today, but she did leave us a report. WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel, it is 7:30. Good morning, and thanks for hanging out with us right here on Bonnie and Friends WDAY Radio. 7:33, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is here with a check on your forecast. Hi, Dean.
Bye.
I just telling him I met some guy
HR
on the golf course who just moved here from Lincoln, Nebraska yesterday.
How does he like it so far?
I think he likes it. His son is here, and they've got grandchildren, so they moved here to be closer to the grandkids.
Good deal.
He was behind us, but just chatted a little bit when we were getting slowed up, but I didn't name drop you because you know you. I didn't know if that would be a good thing
it's
or
a
bad 50-50,
thing. Right?
We don't.
It depends. Yeah, it depends.
What was your lifestyle like in Lincoln?
If he's related to the ex-wife, probably not. You know?
That's what I thought. I'm just not going to take chances.
How ironic would that have been?
Not going to bring up Dean's name.
Oh, man. Well, my name might be Mud before the day is over if you have outdoor plants. Well, the models are not handling the cloud cover at all.
Oh.
I've had to drop the temperature down on our webpage. It really looked like we were going to get a lot warmer than we were supposed to, but that's not going to be the case today. A lot of clouds around, and we will see some scattered showers. Now, if you have outdoor plans, if you've got a tee time, you'll probably get it. You will get it in. But again, we will see scattered showers developing throughout the day. Highs today only in the low 70s, it looks like now, with light northeast winds. And then tonight's showers, a good bet from 94 corridor southward as an area of low pressure rides through South Dakota. Lows in the low 50s, and then Friday, sun returns. Pretty decent day for tomorrow. Mid to upper 70s with south winds at 5 to 10. And then Saturday, we'll start off the day pretty decent. It will be breezy out of the southwest. And highs in the upper 70s. By about 4 o'clock, a cold front approaches from the northwest. We'll trigger off some storms towards evening. The window on that is between about 4 and 7 for storms coming through. And then, bam, that pushes southward. The rest of the evening will be dry, but windy. Winds will shift out of the northwest. And then Sunday, no way around it, crap day. Clouds mixed with some sun at times, but then scattered showers developing, windy, highs only in the 60s on Sunday. Monday, a little better, not much, low 70s, scattered showers. And then as we head into next week, much, much, much better, with temperatures in the 80s on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 80s all the way through Father's Day weekend.
That's summer weather.
That is. Now, Father's Day weekend, there's going to be a couple storms. It's way too early to time it out, but there will be some storms. It looks like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of next week. Not all day events. And again, to time them out now, I know a lot of people want to know what's Father's Day weekend looks like. It looks warm, but it does look like we have a chance for storms. Hopefully we can time those out where they're at night. That would be nice. Mm-hmm. That would be nice.
So even though it's as cloudy as it is here, you're not thinking the better chances of rain until later on today?
Afternoon, mid-afternoon onward,
and then
a better chance overnight. But we're sleeping. Who cares?
Yeah. I'm just looking out for myself in my golf game beginning.
Are you going out again today?
Yeah, ladies' league tonight. 6 o'clock.
You'll squeeze it in, but like yesterday, might have to dodge some raindrops.
I don't mind. If it's just brief, I don't mind it. And I don't mind it cloudy and cool either. I'm good with that.
Well, I know you're not a hot weather person.
I hate the heat.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, you're living in the right place. Hey, 4 years ago on this date.
Yeah.
What was our high temperature?
Oh.
Four years ago.
Let's say we set a record.
We set a record 4 years ago on this date.
51 degrees.
It was hotter. It was probably 97.
101.
Oh my gosh. I would have died. I probably did.
Yeah, probably did. But, well, you came back looking good. I'll tell you. You know?
Well, look at Jace. He came back looking good.
He came back looking much better. Yeah, right?
I probably stayed inside that day.
I'm sure.
More than likely.
Air conditioner weather.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Exactly. Dean's weather this hour brought to you by Jiffy Lube of Fargo, locally owned and operated with 3 convenient locations. You do not need an appointment. Swing on in Jiffy Lube of Fargo, where you can do more in a jiffy. 7:37, your national news from ABC coming up. Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY Radio Sports, and Dino's back with your 3-degree guarantee. 7:41, Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY Radio Sports.
A little bit of a shakeup in Moorhead at Concordia College's campus in the men's basketball program, as head men's basketball coach Tyler Borman making the announcement that Moorhead native Jacob Sobolek has been hired as an assistant coach for the program this upcoming 25-26 season. He spent 4 years as a student assistant for MSUM, the Dragons, actually, when he graduated in 2024 with a bachelor's degree in business administration.
That's a good shakeup, though. That's not a bad shakeup.
Exactly. So. Yeah, no, this is going to be awesome for them. He helped set up practices, aided in team arrival, equipment management, in-game stat tracking, things of those sorts for analytics. Then he went to Minot last year to be a graduate assistant for underneath Matt Merkin in Minot State, the Beavers, helping them to their first Division II national tournament appearance in program history. Now he comes back home to be a assistant coach, a full-time on the staff with the Cobbers this year. So congratulations to him. That's a really awesome addition with a couple of Moorhead natives running that Cobber men's basketball team. Looking forward to seeing them on the court this upcoming season. On the diamond last night, the Twins take down the A's 6-1. They've won all 3 games so far in this series, with the fourth game tonight this afternoon at 2:35 as the Twins try and complete the 4-game sweep. David Festa scheduled to be on the mound for Minnesota. The Twins are 34-27 on the year. Pablo Lopez, unfortunately, though, after leaving his start early on Tuesday, he will be out for an extended amount of time. An MRI yesterday revealed a grade 2 strain of his teres major area, which is his right shoulder area, which is his throwing arm as well. So he's going to miss the next 8 to 12 weeks as he recovers from that setback and then also rehabs it to get back to strength. Don't expect to see him on the mound for the Twins probably until at the earliest the last week of July. If not, you'd be looking into some point in August. The Twins, 29-year-old starter, is 5-3 on the season, a 2.82 ERA in 11 starts so far this year. Fargo Moorhead Redhawks gave up 3 runs in the second inning, and that is all the run support the Monarchs pitching staff needed to edge out Fargo Moorhead 3-2 at Newman Outdoor Field. That 4-game set will wrap up this evening at 7:02 up in North Fargo. The Redhawks looking to try and split that 4-game series here tonight. The NHL Stanley Cup Final went the way of Edmonton in Game 1. The Oilers scored the first and last goal, both of which complimentary of one of their stars, Leon Draisaitl. A 4-3 walk-off overtime win for the Oilers over the Panthers to take a 1-0 series lead. Game 2 on TNT. Full game coverage all series long on TNT for play-by-play and video as well. That will have Game 2 on Friday night. This evening, the NBA Finals does begin as the Thunder will host the Pacers in Oklahoma City. 7:30's tip-off. That entire series coverage will be available on ABC as the Thunder are on their first finals in 13 years. The Pacers, their first appearance in 25 seasons themselves. And rounding out sports here this hour, Minnesota Lynx star forward Nafisa Collier been named the Western Conference Player of the Month for the month of May. She averaged 27 points, 8 rebounds, and just shy of 4 assists a game in the month, while also helping the Lynx race out to an 8-0 start on the season, their best start since they won their most recent championship back in 2017. The Lynx will now head to Dallas to battle the Wings on Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock as they try to continue their undefeated start to the season.
All right, 7:45, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki with your 3-degree guarantee straight ahead. 7:46. Sorry, Glenn. Time now for your 3-degree guarantee with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki. It is brought to you by the Window and Door Store.
So, James, how did the Cubs,
What are you doing over there?
We're talking
Mackenzie Gore. He had 7 shutout innings, man. Dude's a stud.
Are the Cubs supposed to be really good this year, Dino?
They got the best record in the National League.
Oh,
half,
they do.
Half their pitching staff is hurt. Which
half their pitching staff
is very
hurt,
impressive.
And they still.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Mackenzie Gore, after beating the Cubs last night, is 3-5 on the season.
Man,
he's got a 2.8 ERA, and he's 3-5.
But two of the wins were against two of the best teams in the National League, Cubs and the Dodgers.
Huh. Same thing with Paul Skeens. They give up a run, and they're at risk of losing a ballgame.
Man.
Paul Skeens has 9 losses in his big league career so far, 3 of which he's only given up 1 run.
Okay, if you're the Cubs, because there was like rumors. you're going to have to hold on here, Bonnie.
You're fine.
If you're the Cubs are talking about giving up a ton of prospects for Skeens. If you're the Pirates, do you give him up for a bunch of prospects?
I don't think.
I think the Cubs would be dumb to give up. They've got so many good prospects in the pipeline.
I don't think that they'll be able to pry Skeens away because Skeens has 4 years of team control after this year.
Right.
But a guy like Mackenzie Gore, who's a lefty, he's going to take probably a big league ready arm and probably 3, if not 4, prospects to get.
Geez.
But he's got 2 years of team control after this season.
Ooh.
Still. So you would have him this season and then 2 more years before you would need to re-sign him.
Okay.
But he's a 26-year-old lefty who you saw in your lineup last night. He can carve a lot of guys up.
Oh, man. Terrible.
He looked
phenomenal.
He's got control, man, and he knows where to place it.
All right, let's get back to weather now.
3-degree guarantee brought to you by the Window and Door Store. It's cool.
Oh, yeah, that's what we're doing.
I have 77 you were calling for yesterday.
Yes, and the actual high yesterday was 77.
Nice work. So you are up to 24 in a row.
24, baby.
Yeah.
And what's the record, 30?
30.
All right.
Oof. Getting close.
All right.
Are
we got to
get.
Are
you gone anytime soon?
I'm gone Friday.
Well,
I'm gone tomorrow.
Probably mess things up again.
Well, no, I'll be here tomorrow. I'm sorry. I'll be here in the morning. I'm gone the rest of the day. Yeah.
I was changing your mind.
Sorry. I know. Well, you know, that happens. 73 for today's 3-degree guarantee. More clouds around today. And there will be a few scattered showers here and there. So not as nice as yesterday, but still not a bad day. Just a little bit cooler. 73 with partly to mostly cloudy skies today and light winds. So,
So we'll see some sun later on today?
There won't be much.
Okay.
Hit and miss.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, it's cool. Yeah. Whatever.
What are you going to do?
I like variety.
What are you going to do about it?
What
are you going to do about it?
I'll tell you what I'm going to do off the air.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
749 3-degree guarantee has been brought to you by the Window and Door Store. Make sure you are listening to the Jay Thomas Show this afternoon. A big announcement coming at 4:20, not 7:20. He won't be on the air. 4:20 this afternoon. 7:52, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Bonnie and Mastuddy, Big Game James McCarty, tipping culture. A lot of people have been saying this for a while. Out of control. There's a new survey out by Bankrate, and we will cover that in your money and markets straight ahead. 7:54, checking out your money and markets. The opening bell rings this morning after stocks closed mixed on Wall Street yesterday. It came after an ADP payrolls report showed private sector hiring hit its lowest level in over 2 years. Job market's been tightening. At yesterday's close, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 91 points. S&P 500 gained less than a point, and the NASDAQ was up 61. Traders will have further data to comb through today with the release of the weekly jobless claims, and then it'll be to tomorrow's always closely watched jobs report. It's expected to show 125,000 new jobs created last month versus 177,000 the month prior. And I know Brian Kronk, managing partner of Collins and Kronk, made reference to that yesterday when he was on the air with us.
Been hearing a bit about this last day or two. Elon Musk calling for a new spending bill as he calls for President Trump's so-called big, beautiful bill to be killed. In a post on X, Musk said a new spending bill should be drafted that doesn't massively grow the deficit and increase the debt ceiling by $5 trillion. In a later post, the tech billionaire urged Americans to call their senators and congressmen, saying bankrupting America is not okay. Kill the bill. Musk has been highly critical of the spending bill in the days since ending his work with Doge for the White House on Tuesday. He called it a disgusting abomination.
Yeah, he's been more than a little angry. He's been very angry about this. But he and the president, I don't know. There was kind of like some tussling going on.
There's a little bit of beef of some sort.
Even before he left, like that final month or whatever. So, Bureau of Labor Statistics is scaling back the data it collects on consumer prices, the basis for measuring inflation. Every month, federal workers visit stores across the country. They check the prices of things like eggs, haircuts, countless other goods and services. The Bureau says it's scaling back in some areas. It stopped collecting data entirely in Buffalo, New York, Lincoln, Nebraska, and Provo, Utah. It said it makes cuts when the resources are no longer there to support data collection, while also saying the cutbacks would have a minimal impact on inflation estimates.
In the gaming world, Nintendo Switch 2 is out hitting shelves today.
Do you have one of those?
In theory. No, I don't.
Are you a gamer even? Do you game
a little
much?
Bit. I'm a little bit into PlayStation still, okay. I have siblings that still play with the Switch and whatnot. Yeah.
It's pretty popular.
Yeah, all major retailers are sold out through the pre-orders, which some are expected to be restocked at some point. For today's launch day, the console is priced at $449 or $499 bundled with Mario Kart World.
That's
of course.
Just that little gizmo that's different colors, right? Isn't that the Switch?
Yeah, so the Switch is the one... Yeah, where it's a handheld.
Like turquoise and orange or something?
Red and blue. Turquoise
and
blue.
That's kind
red.
Of expensive for a little handheld deal.
It is, but you can use it portable if it's, I would imagine, the same as the previous ones. And you can also use a cable to plug it into your television.
Okay. Yeah, so I've seen some like great nieces and
it's multifaceted.
It. Okay.
So that's, I suppose, reasoning for the high dollar amount.
Nothing's cheap anymore.
No.
Ford Motor Company is recalling more than 550,000 vehicles. According to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, recall was issued due to airbag and structural concerns that could increase risk of crashes and injuries. It affects the 2025 Ford Maverick models, as well as the 2016 to 2017 Ford Explorers. Ford will send you a letter if your vehicle is affected. You always get those recall letters.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, mine's a little bit older than that, so I'm all right.
Yeah.
Any defects are either because of wear and tear or because of the operator at this point.
Yeah, operator error.
And Forbes is out with its annual list of the country's most successful self-made women. There's 38 billionaires on the list of 100 entrepreneurs, executives, and entertainers. That's seven more than last year. At the top of the list for the eighth year in a row is the richest, Diane Hendricks, owner of building materials company
ABC
Supply.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Three new billionaires are on the list. Majority owner of the National Women's Soccer League's Washington Spirit, Michelle Kang. Co-owner of the league San Diego Wave, Lauren, is it Leichman?
Never heard of
it. And investor, Mackie, Zangane, who runs the Summit Therapeutics.
Oh.
Musician and actress Selena Gomez is also on the list. This year, with an estimated net worth of $700 million, most of that comes from her stake in Rare Beauty, a cosmetics company worth more than $1.3 billion.
Where are the Kardashians' dreams?
I suppose.
And do you think
they're taken over by Taylor Swift and Selena Gomez?
That's why they say T Swizzle. I'm sure she's probably.
She
on
has
this
to
list
be. They're
too,
just trying to mix it up a little bit. She's got to be pretty. I mean, she does 3-hour shows by herself. She's got some net worth, to say the least.
She's making money. I don't know how you feel about it. I see a lot of people in local, like, Facebook chat groups or whatever complaining about tipping culture is just getting out of control.
Mm-hmm.
Bankrate's done a survey. 41% of those responding said tipping culture is out of control. That share rose. They talked to Gen X and baby boomers. That went up to 45% of people who say it's out of control. Bankrate found older generations are more likely to hold negative attitudes about tipping, but they're also more likely to tip. A survey found pre-entered tip screens have become a particular pain point for consumers, with nearly 2 in 5 respondents find them annoying. And the going rate, 20-25%. Mm-hmm. I mean, generally speaking.
It's very controversial because, even like with my parents and whatnot, you'll hear that from time to time. Well, you have to tip, but sometimes, service or you feel obligated to a service is better than others. Me personally, when you're making just a cup of coffee, I don't feel it feels kind of forced to try and get a $3, $4, $5 tip. But when, you're a server who's on top of your things, you create conversation throughout the hour and a half there. I think that's more than worthy of 10, 15, 20 bucks, whichever comes out to, you know, give or take 20-25% of the bill.
Well, and you're young and just, you know, you're still at that phase in your life where you're not making money hand over fist. You know, you're making money to pay
your
bills.
Does that mean you are now?
No, I'm not. Oh. But
so I don't have a lot to look forward to, huh?
No, but I mean, like, I've got three kids that are no longer on my payroll. I'm living a little more comfortably here.
Oh, luxurious, I believe, is what I was told as a kid.
I still think of you as one of my poor college students, even though you're not. He's out of college.
It's much appreciated. The lasagnas and the Alfredos can keep on coming.
I almost brought you some blueberry muffins. I did toss a few in the freezer, but I didn't. Maybe tomorrow I'll dig them out.
That would have been killer
today. I do tip consistently, just because I also worked in the service industry for 6-7 years. And so I think a lot of people that have worked as in the service industry, yeah, bartender, waitress, whatever you were, I think you're more apt to tip. But a lot of people still have that perspective. If it isn't worth a tip, then I'm not going to tip at all. So and
that's
it,
where
it's gone up in price too.
Fight with myself is when you have one that comes through and, hey, do you need anything? They give you a beer or a water. Mm-hmm. Then they take your order. They drop it off, and then you don't see them again until you get your bill.
Yeah.
It's tough for me to be like, oh, yeah, here's $15.
I'll still tip, but I won't tip amazing if it's that poor of service. Yeah, I get it. 801, we are WDAY Fargo. 804, meteorologist Dean Wysocki is here. Cloudy start, cloudy day.
Yeah, a lot of clouds around today. Yeah, not as much sun.
It's per Canada, right?
No, this is
that's
not.
What? That's not smoke. Those are clouds.
These are clouds, man.
I forgot what they look like.
Yeah. We can't blame Canada on this one.
Gosh, it was smoky in the cities, though, my daughter was saying yesterday and the day before.
I don't doubt that. Yeah. Yep. All the smoke was pushed off to our east. But today we've got a weather system that's moving through South Dakota, and we're on the northern end of that with the cloud cover. So we're going to see partly to mostly cloudy skies, it looks like, now for the rest of the afternoon. We're currently in the 50s, warming up into the low 70s today. That's it. In fact, there might be some areas stuck in the upper 60s. But we'll go 73 today with a light northeast wind, and again, a few scattered showers can't be ruled out. Better chance for scattered showers tonight from the 94 corridor southward with lows in the low 50s. Then the sun returns tomorrow. Looks like a beautiful day. South winds 5 to 10, highs in the upper 70s. And then Saturday, we'll start off the day pretty decent. Breezy out of the southwest. It's going to be a warm one with highs in the upper 70s. But after 4 o'clock, a cold front arrives, and that will bring a line of showers and storms. It should push out of the area by 7, 8 o'clock on Saturday night. And then windy conditions behind that, and then windy, cooler on Sunday with highs only in the 60s with scattered showers. Might see that smoke return on Sunday. We'll wait and see how the upper-level winds pan out, but it's looking a little more favorable than it has been over the last few days. It's been nice being able to go outside and breathe.
Right, exactly.
It's the little things we take for granted.
Well, it's a big deal, especially if you have sensitivities to the smoke.
Oh, without a doubt.
It's kept a lot of people inside.
Without a doubt.
It's been a nice reprieve.
Yes.
8:05 coming up tomorrow morning, 6:56, Flatland Music Flashback, brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. We're going to be showcasing the Rolling Stones, the Beatles, and Led Zeppelin. All that and more coming up tomorrow morning, Flatland Music Flashback, right around 6:56. It is 8:06. We're going to get an update here from ABC with your national news, and Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY Radio Sports. 8:10, Big Game James McCarty has your WDAY Radio Sports.
Some excitement in high school softball as Holly, the Lady Nuggets, they have punched their ticket to a state championship game as they edged out Jackson County Central last night, actually. It was a tight one. It went 11 innings.
Oh, wow.
And they ended up edging them out, walking them off 2-1. So Holly punches their ticket as a 6-seed to the state championship game. That's Friday late afternoon at 4 o'clock, and they're taking on 4-seeded St. Cloud Cathedral, who pulled off an upset against top-seeded Randolph last night as well. That was an 8-6 one for Cathedral over Randolph. So should be an exciting evening for Holly softball. Looking forward to seeing if they're able to get that state championship and bring that hardware back right up Highway 10 this weekend. On the mound for the Twins, man, they've won all three games against the A's in Sacramento so far. Last night, another great pitching performance. It was a 6-1 victory. Zebby Matthews, he went 5 innings, only gave up 1 run. He struck out 4 batters en route to his first win of the 2025 season. It was an inning of shutout ball apiece out of the pen from Louis Varland, Griffin Jacks, Brock Stewart, Juwan Duran, all of which had great outings. The Twins actually struck out 14 A's last night. So that's just over half of their outs came via the strikeout last night. The staff was on one as they got the victory. Harrison Bader, a two-run homer. Ryan Jeffers did drive in two runs as well, but he had a solo shot in that victory. Twins A's wrap up the four-game set 2:35 this afternoon in Sacramento. Sad news, though, for Twins baseball fans as you look towards the early summer months. Unfortunately, no Pablo Lopez for the extended period of time. He left his Tuesday night start early due to what looked to be soreness at one point. It was precautionary. An MRI yesterday revealed a grade 2 strain of his teres major in his right shoulder, which is his throwing shoulder. This will knock him out for between 8 and 12 weeks as he recovers from that setback and rehabs before getting back to the mound. The 29-year-old is 5-3 on the season, a 2.82 ERA and 11 starts. And unfortunately, this means you should not expect to see Pablo Lopez again until, more likely than not, sometime in the month of August. If we're lucky, possibly the last start of July, but I would not expect it based on that timetable, unfortunately.
That's too bad, because I think he was the hottest thing going for pitching
staff. He really
staff.
Was. He was electrifying a pitching staff that really had a great month of May, and it was starting to have a pretty solid month of June, the first week as well. The Redhawks, man, they only had one inning elapsed. They gave up three runs in the second inning, and that was all that needed to happen, unfortunately, for Kansas City to hold on to a win. In the fifth inning, Peter Brookshaw did hit a two-run homer, but that was all the scoring in the game last night. 3-2, Monarchs knock off the Redhawks, defeating Fargo-Moorhead for the second consecutive night. Redhawks and Monarchs wrap up this four-game set as Fargo-Moorhead looks to try and split this series at 7:02 this evening before hitting the road for the weekend. Last night's Stanley Cup Final officially got underway, and it was all about the home team and the Edmonton Oilers, including Leon Draisaitl. Draisaitl scored the game's first goal. He also scored the walk-off overtime game winner in a 4-3 victory for the Oilers over the Panthers, as now Edmonton has a 1-0 series lead. Sam Bennett did score twice for the Panthers on a bright spot for them. Puck will drop at 7 o'clock on TNT Friday evening for Game 2 of that best-of-seven series. This evening on the hardwood, the NBA Finals finally begins in Oklahoma City. The Thunder will host the Indiana Pacers. Tip-off is at 7:30. Coverage available nationally on ABC. That's where you can find coverage of the entire series for the next 2 to 3 weeks, depending on how deep this best-of-seven series goes. And as well, Minnesota Lynx star forward Nafisa Collier has been named the Western Conference Player of the Month for the month of May. 27 points a game, 8 rebounds, just shy of 4 assists and a couple of steals a night, helping the Lynx to an 8-0 start to the season, their best start since their last WNBA championship season in 2017. Collier and the rest of those Lynx will be in Dallas on Sunday to take on the Wings. That'll be a 3 p.m. tip-off as Minnesota tries to remain undefeated and maintain its best record in the WNBA this weekend.
All right, we're starting to see a little light rain here in the region. Dean just popped in to see, what time's your tea time? I said, not till 6 o'clock. He goes, oh, right to the east. There's some showers that have popped up on the radar, so that's the situation.
That's what he came in here for.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Whispering in my ear, you're wondering what he was up to.
Well, I was a little bit nervous, because when he comes in like that, you know, just very unprovoked, you don't know if it's going to be a violation or not.
Exactly.
And there's live mics. You don't want to get in trouble with everybody.
Steve's in the building. I think he knows enough to behave. No, he doesn't.
Yeah, that's very much up for
really
debate.
Matter. A couple of interesting, unusual stories here. First of all, people in Washington State, are seeing helicopters, DNR helicopters. Usually they use, you've seen firefighting helicopters before, right?
Yeah, yeah, kind of like the, yep.
Yeah, so instead of using them, not to put out fires or anything, they're using them to remove abandoned boats off an uninhabited island in the Puget Sound. Vessels come to rest there, and they've been doing this for a number of years. Private contractors have been doing it, but I guess they got some funding here. So the Washington Department of Natural Resources is removing these boats. And it's an uninhabited island, but it used to be inhabited by an Indian tribe, and it's sacred ground to them, Squaxin Island.
Squaxin,
yeah, island, and they have a tribe there by the same name. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. Apparently, when somebody's boat, you know, it's seen its better years or whatever, people are just dumping them, and then they'll drift to this island, and they're just leaving them because they don't want to deal with the expense of properly disposing of their boats. And I guess it's been a problem.
I suppose they're scraping all their information off of it beforehand?
I don't know if they, probably.
Otherwise, you think the DNR would go after them, right?
You would think. They say this this has been going on since 2002, where these boats that have just been washing
really,
up.
Really, that long?
Since then.
Almost 25 years.
They've hauled out 1,200 derelict vessels that people just abandoned. There are 300 more out there that the Wisconsin DNR is, or Wisconsin, Washington DNR is
that
trying to get removed.
Insane.
There was one down. It was either Twin Cities or.
I thought it was on, like, the. Was it the St. Croix or the Mississippi?
Oh,
I thought.
I was going to say either Minnesota or
St. Croix. I thought it was
St. Croix
because I thought it was on the state border.
So you saw that too, and it sounded like it belonged to a younger person and they just couldn't afford it. And so, yeah, I think that finally got removed
yeah.
from the water. The state or somebody.
There's only a couple, yeah, one or two of them even though, yeah. yeah.
But for this, that's just sad. Like, I mean, that's your, that, it's basically like littering, right?
Well, that's, I mean, it's not good to, you know, like your old Ziploc bag with your lunch sandwich, and it's not good to litter that, let alone.
An entire boat.
Yeah. It's
broken down and seen its better years, but yeah. 300 that they're trying to get removed, whether they can get those all removed here this summer, who knows. But wow. since 2002, 1,200
that's gotta
abandoned
take
boats.
A lot of time and resource, whether, regardless of even if it's volunteer hours, the amount of fuel and I would imagine training and things of those sorts mm-hmm. for the crews that are going out there. Because, I mean, yeah, you've seen those helicopters, whether it's, you know, in state or national forests, you see them dumping water
right.
On
or
wildfires,
retardant,
or you see them dumping fish for a restock of some sort.
Oh, I have not seen that. Do they use the helicopters for that, too?
Yeah, well, I suppose. Yeah, or small planes, I suppose. Small
they do.
Planes.
Oh, I've not seen that.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because some people poke fun at it where you see like a, you know, like a rainbow trout purist is like, hey, you have to, you know, wet your hands. You have to properly handle it. You have to have your certain net.
Loose.
You can't have the, you know, yeah. you can't have a standard net. You have to have like those, well, the rubberized ones so that they don't lose their glisten, their slime
okay.
and whatnot.
Okay.
And to help protect them when you release them with the stress that they have.
Sure.
And then you see them get restocked and there have been, there are times where they get shot out of a plane. They just,
oh, I didn't
they
know
just
they
open a hatch and you see 300-400 of them just all flying through the air until they hit the water.
Oh, interesting.
From, they do it from, I mean, not super high. I don't even know.
Well, yeah,
40,
obviously.
30, 40,
more,
50
more
feet
gentle.
Ahead of the water. Yeah,
you don't yeah. want to drop them from too high up. That's cool, though. I didn't realize that they did that. Here in Washington, it looks like they got $1 million, the Washington DNR got $1 million grant from NOAA to remove these boats. So who knows how long it'll take them to get those going. But that's sad people did this. Here's another interesting story on the national front. There is a little boy, he's 7. He and his brother, who are 10, were walking to a grocery store. It's in Gastonia, North Carolina. I guess it's a rural town in North Carolina. Grocery store 2 blocks from their home. However, the 7 and 10-year-old had to cross a 4-lane highway. Like, that's a big highway for little guys.
Oh, wow.
The younger one, the 7-year-old, ended up stepping into traffic, got struck and killed. The mom and dad now are being charged. They were not present. Driver hit the younger boy, killing him. The mom and dad are now being charged with involuntary manslaughter for allowing their 2 young children to walk alone to that grocery store.
That's...
They're already, you know, dealing with the loss of a child here.
Yeah, it's a... Tough spot to be, because at what age do you, can you, should you, depending on the maturity of the child,
yeah.
allow them to do things on their own to gain some semblance of independence? At the same point, it's a large highway.
Yeah.
How did the driver end up? I mean, I suppose if you're going a certain speed, but myself, whenever... I don't know, if you're in a town, you're going to have to be going slower, you'd think, as a driver, so how... Was there a distraction of some sort for the driver? Because even...
It sounded like just the kid stepped out into traffic because he was standing alongside his 10-year-old brother and he was on the phone and it sounded like the 7-year-old just stepped into traffic. They're not charging the driver. It sounds like he was going the speed limit. I don't know. Wow. Now, when they say four lanes, okay, so where I grew up.
So I'm thinking like Highway 2, like up through Bemidji or whatnot, right?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Cause one
that's my assumption.
Highway 169 goes through my hometown. Okay,
oh,
so
yeah,
you've
does,
got
yeah. yep.
two lanes in each direction. Would that be what they're talking, four lanes?
Yeah, or are they talking, is it from where I was, I suppose, Highway 65, when you get far enough north like to Mora, that's one lane each way, but then you have turn lanes that turns it temporarily into a four lane.
That would be a dangerous one. But
either way.
The one from my house, okay, so yes, it's a four lane road, so two in each direction, Highway 169, and we would go from our house, was on the one side, we just kind of walk through the ditch to cross that. I would say by 10, was probably walking across that highway, obviously being careful, and the speed limit does slow through there. I want to say it's 30 miles an hour.
Yeah, it drops from... what, 60 or 65 or whatnot, it drops down to 30, yeah. Because the same thing even back home through my hometown.
You probably at 10, right?
Yeah.
You might be with your buddies, 9, 10?
Yeah, I was doing, 9 or 10 years old, I was doing things solo, and I would be responsible for what at the time would have been one of my six-year-old brothers, I was 10 years old.
Right, same thing. You might have had Heidi, my younger sister, only a year apart, but I mean, Heidi and I, we could have been 9, 10, 8, 9, crossing the highway. Obviously, our parents told us, you know, you got to look both ways before you cross both, and you just knew you had done it with older siblings or mom many times, but boy, I don't know. We'll see how this all works out through the court, but grieving parents here, being charged for allowing their two sons, ages 10 and 7, to walk two blocks from home to go to the grocery store. Parents charged with involuntary manslaughter.
That's a very, just tough and sensitive situation for certain, because something of that nature, honestly, could even just come down to the lawyer and how they could or could not, with good intentions, you know, possibly and manipulate to an extent some of the wording, but
I don't know anything about the couple. I mean, I've seen pictures of them. I don't know anything about their history, their background, anything like that. I do, it appears by looking at the article, they must not have a lot of money because they're being represented by the public defender's office.
Yep. So probably more or less like a paycheck to paycheck type of family. I mean,
not able to afford attorney.
Yeah, I mean, you know, dad's still at work and mom's making dinner, or mom's mowing the lawn while dad, you know, runs to the hardware store or something, and then they just say, hey, go grab a couple of girls. Because, that was very common for youth of that age in my hometown to gain responsibilities like things of those sorts. And
like I said, 8, 9, 10, we were, you know, there might have been 2-4 of us packed together, but we were crossing a busy highway just like that.
Yeah, you'd be herded together with a couple of you, but until you were, in that 10, 11, 12-year-old range, you would never do anything solo. Mm-hmm. But, you definitely would have had somebody else with you at that age.
Yeah, well, like I said, sad story all around. We'll see how that all shakes out. It is 8:24, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. We are going to check in with the American Ag Network and the Janae and Ronnie from the Coffee Club slide in right after that, and we will find out what they have planned on today's show. 8:27, some showers in the area. Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio wrapping up. Janae and Ronnie have just entered the studio, and we were just briefing them on the situation in North Carolina with the two young brothers, 10 and 7, walked to the grocery store two blocks from their home. 7-year-old hit by a car and killed. The driver of the car not facing charges. However, the mom and dad are facing involuntary manslaughter charges for allowing them to go to the store. They crossed a four-lane highway. Janae at first was shocked, but James and I both grew up in a town where we had busy highways going through. The speed limit slowed to 30 at that point. And 9-10, we were sure we were crossing Highway 169 in my hometown at that age.
I didn't live anywhere near a busy highway.
Yeah.
But
we in my hometown, we didn't even have a stoplight for our road. It just had a blinking crosswalk, the yellow yield.
We had the sign that said crosswalk, maybe.
Yep, and it was just a blinking, and it just said yield for pedestrian. That's all we had.
But we don't have any of those signs in McCloskey.
Right, when you grow older. And you grew up, too.
We got lucky. When we would go to grandma's house, my mother's mom, her house was about a block and a half from a gas station. you had to walk across 281.
Okay, so you can relate to this.
That gas station. So they let us go, but they
How
were like,
"How old about though, Ronnie?" Would you say?
I would say it was probably in that neighborhood.
9,
you know,
10?
Sometime between 9 and 11 or yeah, somewhere in that ballpark. Yeah. But
and you might have been with siblings or friends.
Yeah, yeah. It was like, you know, always look to see in 281. You know, still a busy road at that time. It was two lane, but just always look for vehicles as you're coming through, and they had semi trucks and other stuff, you know.
Right.
So.
I think the shocking thing is that the parents have been charged in this case with involuntary manslaughter. I mean, it's sad. They're grieving the loss of their son.
Yeah.
And the 10-year-old is going to be traumatized. Right. I don't know. There might be other extenuating factors on why they charge these parents.
Right,
maybe
that we don't know about.
Maybe they're not the best parents. I have no idea. But, yeah, that's what we know right now. But sad story all around.
Mm-hmm.
What are you guys doing in the coffee club today?
Music on the Terrace tonight.
Oh, yeah.
So Micah Gallagher, he was actually the winner of Acoustic Fest.
Oh, that'll be
so
fun.
He very, very good. Mm-hmm. He will be in with us. I remember we heard him for the first time, and I know Emily and I, like, our mouths dropped when we heard him. It was amazing.
Mm.
So he'll be on with us today. I think he's been on with us one time before.
One time
maybe.
Before he had to get hooky from work. To come in and,
I went up to his boss. Yes. I went up to his boss and said, I need him tomorrow.
Yeah,
so,
that's funny.
Yeah. He works at Ad Shark, I think.
Yeah.
Is where he works. Yeah. Albums everyone should hear at least once in their life. Reality shows that are mostly reality.
Mm. Interesting.
Well, it's funny you bring that up. My wife and I just watched another season of Love Island last night.
Oh, my goodness.
A lot of reality in that.
I'm going to guess Michelle picked this one out, Ronnie.
Yeah.
Guys,
and
a lot of reality for seven guys and seven girls who all share the same brain cell.
I can't get into that stuff.
You're wasting too much time in your life, Ronnie.
Get back to the documentaries.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go.
At least I watch true crime. Like,
well, yeah, that's
informational, right?
Speaking
historical.
Of which, I just saw a posting for one coming out on Netflix, which might be entertaining. A poopy disaster aboard a cruise ship. Mm. It premieres on Netflix.
I think I'm good on that.
That's a pass. Yeah, that's a pass.
Is that really what it's called?
That's really what it's called. It says it's both disgusting and funny at the same time.
Oh, okay, gross.
About the worst disaster you never heard of aboard a cruise ship.
I think I'll pass on that one too.
All right, stay tuned. Coffee Club coming up next. James, thanks for coming in, hanging out early with me.
Thank you.
You bet.
We'll see you guys tomorrow.
Yes, he'll be back on Part of Bonnie and Friends tomorrow morning, and Jace will be back in studio. Bonnie and Friends starts at 5 o'clock. Hope you can join us tomorrow, and stay tuned for the Coffee Club. They're going to be coming up next.